The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is
Paul Perillo.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the salt in the soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is the show is
PFW in Progress.
And Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday at Gillette Stadium, and it's snowing, but no one cares because the Patriots are still Super Bowl champions for the 2014 season. Nothing's
they can't
gonna,
take that away.
They
you
know. Cannot take it away.
No matter what
they
say,
might try.
They write, they
might
do,
try.
Can't take that away.
I don't think they can take the snow away either. There's about 3 feet outside there, and we're supposed to get a ton more on next week.
We'll worry about that then. But yeah, they might try to take this away, but they can't.
Nope. No one can ruin it.
That's right.
In fact, the Patriots are now getting out of the scandal spotlights as more scandals are sort of popping up in Atlanta.
Isn't it funny how
Cleveland
all this stuff is coming out there now?
Yeah.
It's weird.
But no one cares because it's not the Patriots.
Right.
They're not winners.
Right.
If you're the Browns and Falcons, cheat all you want. You suck anyway.
But I just think the timing's kind of weird. It's almost like the league is putting out an olive branch to Robert Kraft and saying, okay, we'll let all this other stuff out there. Because somebody wrote the other day, I'm sure there's a whole litany of things that we don't hear about.
Right.
That teams get fined on the...
Oh, every team complains every week or sends in a report or whatever based on the week of minor, whatever.
Right.
And if the league is putting out an olive branch, I hope Robert snaps it off and jams it in their eye.
Right.
Screw it. Like, I mean...
The damage has been done.
Right.
Yeah,
you can't
take that back.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and
that genie has left.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I know Mr. Kraft asked for an apology. You know, when they come up with basically nothing, even that is sort of, well, that's great. You said you're sorry. Well, you already did the damage.
Right. But at least you have it on record.
Right.
Like that Herald thing. You have. You can always say they had to apologize.
Yeah, but their apology will not resonate like the 2 weeks of controversy.
And like Paul says, you know, for those fans who are hoping that this Super Bowl victory will shut up the haters and stop all that talk, it won't.
No.
Probably not.
It's not going to. So as a Patriot fan, you just have to be resigned to the fact that for the rest of your life, you're going to have to defend the Patriots against these people. And I read something the other day. It was an interesting quote or saying. It said that the amount of energy it takes to refute BS is exponentially more than to create it.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know?
Which is why I was thinking for the Thursday night opener. I don't know if they do, like, it's not really an entertainment spectacle anymore. Remember they were trying to do concerts and different things?
Yeah.
I think we should have Taylor Swift here and do Haters Gonna Hate.
Yeah,
play
absolutely.
Because she's tight with us. I mean,
she lives on her
island. Well, mm-hmm. She does her concerts here.
She is coming,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So she should definitely, before she plays that song, do the shout-out to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Maybe we could give her some video.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Because that would be perfect.
That
Haters
be cool.
Gonna Hate.
The only problem is everybody in the audience is like a 14-year-old girl, and they don't know what the hell she's talking about.
Well, that's why we need something else. Either do it at the game for the Thursday night or have a video.
Maybe she allows us to put that up on
play
Patriots.
It up on the big board or something. Something to get it to Patriots fans more than just, the 13-year-old girls.
Right.
Can I ask a question?
You just did.
I read the tweet that, you know, Brady's giving Butler the truck, but it's going to cost him $60,000. How does that
taxes?
Work?
probably.
How can it cost you more than the value of the vehicle?
Oh, 60 grand?
That's a little Chevy, at most, decked out, that's a $38,000 truck or something. How can it cost you more
what
than...
What's the line items? What are?
I don't know. I didn't read it. Oh. That's why I'm asking if you guys read anything.
There would be shipping and transportation, taxes.
But taxes should never be more than the cost.
So let's say all of that is 10%. It shouldn't cost them more than $6,000.
Well, there's also...
If the price of the truck is $60,000, but I don't even think it is.
It's not. That's not
probably
a $60,000.
Probably like $30,000 or $40,000, right?
Yeah, that car starts out in the 20s and even decked out is like high 30s.
Yeah.
Even with every
so it shouldn't cost
technology
them more than,
and stuff.
It shouldn't cost them more than like $6,000 to get it in his possession.
I mean, it's
so
not
where
a big...
are they getting $60,000?
I don't know. I know it's not a big deal to him. Who cares? Whatever. It's nice for Butler, but I just didn't understand that.
No.
I also didn't understand your boy, Florio.
Oh,
you see the tweet?
The Gronk thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What an a-hole.
Troll.
He is such a...
I
should have fought him when he
was
here.
What happened?
Like, he is a terrible trolling douchebag.
Yeah.
Like, he said Gronk, you know, is he going to be fined or whatever for public drinking or whatever?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Beer?
Yeah, yeah.
What a douche. First of all, no, he's not. That's what happens at these parades and these different things. I believe you're also not allowed to drink on TV,
right.
But they show every Major League Baseball post-game locker room them chugging champagne. Like,
right.
There's certain you know, it's kind of like when Ortiz said, this is our bleeping city,
right.
And the FCC
exactly.
guy said, you're
certain
right.
Certain things you just turn around.
But
and,
no. Mr. A-hole has to say that Gronk should be.
Well, even worse than
I
that
hate
was
him with a passion.
Even worse than that was Bruce Irvin yesterday tweeting out how classless the Patriots were for holding up those signs.
Oh, really?
This is the guy
who started
it at the end of the game.
Right. But I don't care about that. He is a Seahawk.
Right.
Florio is supposedly an unbiased observer. He's just an a-hole. That's all he is an a-hole. Right? Yeah. I mean, I know you're boys with him, and you guys
I like him.
Tight.
I like him.
I think he's an a-hole.
Yeah.
The a-hole to the nth degree.
But even Tom Curran had to say something to him, and they basically work for the same company.
Right. Right.
He said, easy there, you know.
And Curran's on his whatever podcast
right.
or show all the time.
Right.
But, I mean, that was just, I hate him. That's all I can say. I hate him.
The parade, the video of Edelman and Gronk, it was hysterical.
Insane.
I mean, Gronk was basically doing a pole dance. I mean, the moves he was making was like he was on stage collecting dollar bills on the floor.
And I've never seen anything like Edelman, though.
He, to me, looked like a wrestler. Like he was doing a shoot or whatever in the middle of the ring, punching the sign and throwing it, like doing the arms and the shirt.
Right.
Like he was a wrestler.
He was.
And I'm fine with it.
And Gronk was a sex act. I mean, you should have seen what he was like lifting his leg like a dog.
And he had the 69 jersey.
Yeah.
Then he had nothing.
Then he had nothing.
He had
no shirt. He had no shirt.
Well,
then
that would happen eventually.
Running down, giving the high fives to the crowd. Like, he's the best.
He is.
He is absolutely the best.
Hell, we're on the big screen right now. Give me a chest bump.
You know, and I was
with
just,
his minions.
I was just thinking, you know, guys like Edelman and Gronk and, you know, even Gostkowski, they all came onto a team that had this history. That were known as being champions, had won three times since Belichick and Brady came on, and you know came close while they were, but they weren't in the club yet, and now they're in the club.
Yeah.
And what you saw was that excitement of being now I've got mine.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, plus I think it's the release of everything has to stay inside and buttoned up for whatever it is, 20 weeks
of
ups, of downs, of highs,
and that's
of lows.
That's the reactions we saw at the parade yesterday were what I was. Expecting to see in the post game interviews,
but they're not quite ready. They need
they were still
the
I think kind of stunned.
Then it's release,
right?
It's just freedom, and then it'll all get reined back in.
I think a lot of them were shocked.
Well, yeah,
which is why they were sort of subdued.
Well, you had to be.
Yeah,
even Brady knew they were going to lose.
He looked
and
like.
By the way, they were going to lose thanks unless for Pete Carroll. But I think Brady, when he said, "I realize when we didn't call a timeout, it comes down to stopping them, to win." And I mean that's an unlikely situation.
Right.
Second and goal on the one.
Yeah.
There's a good chance they're going to score.
Right.
So I think they were all, I mean, people were not making fun of Brady, but showing him jump up and down, which, by the way, did you notice some of our PR friends were jumping up and down right behind him in the video?
Yeah.
That was just natural emotion because I think he had somewhat resigned himself to this might be the third one we lose.
Absolutely.
And that's why it was, again, that's why I wish there was some Richter scale, where you could show this exact second where everybody's jumping up, and because I think Boston, I think Phoenix, they were shaking.
John says the taxes were the taxes on Brady's truck and the taxes he pays on the $90,000 game day check.
Oh, he's giving him his check too.
Yeah.
Why would he give him his check? Butler gets his own check.
Yeah, I don't think that's correct.
That would make more sense because it is 98,000 plus you, you add in a $40,000 truck. Now we're up to $130,000. Brady's probably in a pretty high tax bracket.
Right.
Right. Maybe that would be 60 grand. But I didn't know he was giving him his check. He's even nicer than I thought.
I didn't hear that.
The other thing that surprised me, too, kind of pleasantly surprised me, the Disney World, Disneyland thing is supposed to be for the MVP.
Yeah, that stopped a while back, though.
They just pick whoever they want?
Well, I think...
Well, the MVP turns it down, and then they keep go down the list.
But like I also think they turned it down a couple times.
Like, well, I think there was one time where they
did
didn't
Ray Lewis win?
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's been a couple where they didn't necessarily want the MVP. So now it's kind of not directly tied.
And I'm glad they chose who they did.
I mean, stay flexible.
Well, Butler and Edelman certainly
And to me, Butler's the perfect one. You know, remember their old song, When You Wish Upon...
Right.
Like, that's Butler. That's Malcolm Butler's life.
Did you know,
He's a Disney movie.
Did you know the only people there for Malcolm Butler with his mother and his girlfriend? Everything else he gave away? So it's just...
What do you mean everything else?
Like all the other tickets he had and
stuff to give away to other players?
Yeah, the only people he had as guests were his mother and his girlfriend.
Really?
Which is cool,
you
know?
Keep
it
small.
And then he becomes this hero. It's just a great story.
Yeah.
And his hometown in Mississippi wants to have a
parade. Have a day for him?
They want to have a day for him.
Hell yeah,
absolutely.
They should.
Yeah.
Well, not even the hero. I won't say he was going to be the GOAT because he wasn't the GOAT, but he was going to be a part of the image of the catch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have been in all the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Not a GOAT because I don't think it was a GOAT-like play, but he would have been in that a million, billion,
It's like that guy from the Patriots gets spun around by Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Every time they show that clip, they
Well, I think that was more of a GOAT-worthy play.
Or Max Lane getting thrown aside by Reggie White against the Packers.
Right. But instead, a couple plays later, he's got the
And
right
he would have been in the curse pictures, too.
Right.
Yeah.
With the bobbling.
And then I would have said 5 years later, oh, yeah, remember Butler? He played? No wonder they lost. And that's what I would have been saying.
All right.
Okay.
John says that Brady is not giving Butler his check. He has to pay the taxes on his check. So the story you read was how much it's going to cost
Somebody
Brady,
tweeted out it was going to cost Brady $60,000 to give Butler the truck.
That
and
seems
I didn't
excessive.
Understand how that would be possible.
I still don't get that. His
be like 130%
tax.
He
has to do no matter whether he gives the truck to him or not, so I don't understand why that is a factor. Anyway, whatever.
I had heard $21,000 for taxes
on the truck.
That makes a little more sense, but it still seems high to me.
It's ridiculous. The truck's worth $35,000.
Yeah, I mean, it was
Brady must be in a high tax bracket.
Something in terms of taxes and the gift tax or something like that. I don't know what exactly. It's like 13 and 8 taxes and a gift tax or something like that.
I think he can handle it.
Well, yeah. I mean, either way, I mean, it's not that huge.
Malcolm hits the truck, you have to pay the taxes.
Well, that's like those people that win stuff on game
you're
shows
only
and
allowed,
can't afford it.
You're only allowed to give, what is it, $13,000, $12,000 a year tax-free to an individual? So maybe Malcolm Butler's going to have to pay taxes if he gets that truck as a gift. He certainly is going to have to pay the difference between that.
Well,
like if I wanted to get Fred, if I wanted to give you $10,000, I could do that, and you wouldn't have to pay any taxes on that. But if I go over, I think it's 12 now is the limit. If I were to give you, you know, 12,500, you'd have to pay taxes on the difference, I believe.
Hmm. Anyway,
so I don't know.
This week in taxes is brought to you
by
it
is that time
H&R Block.
It is that time of year.
Right.
We're getting W-2s.
Although, not really, because he'll have to pay.
1099s.
It happened in the 2015 year, so he'll
next
year.
Well.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. People calling in, emailing in. They just can't get enough of this. This is – it's still – I don't know if it's really sunk in to all of Patriots Nation. It's just – it's surreal. It's surreal. I had one PR guy say that he's watched the game 6 times already. I have not watched
which one
the game
that
yet.
I haven't yet.
I haven't recorded.
I just finished watching it last night.
Yeah, I haven't watched it again yet. I'm just not ready to relive it yet. I just, you know.
I watched it. I watched it Tuesday night, and then I watched last night. The way they did the sound effects was like rerunning the game.
Oh, I forgot. The sound effects,
with the film's version, and it was really good.
Yeah,
last night was really good.
Did you take anything new out of it?
Anything? Not exceptionally, only because I had heard all the clips on the radio, so I sort of knew when everything was happening.
Did Marshawn Lynch really smile when he goes by Pete?
He had a smirk on his face. I don't think that I didn't take it the same way. Not surprisingly, usually I'm
The voices off. In your head didn't agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't necessarily think of it the same way. And I will also say, the Belichick, you know, the impassioned Belichick speech to the defense. What I took from that, and I know everybody's focusing on the do your job, you know, do your job. What I took from that is what he's telling them is, our preparation got us here. They're doing everything that we knew they were going to do. This is what they're doing, and you know what they're doing. You can stop them. In other words, you know, just stick to the game plan. I think he actually says stay with the game plan at one point. That to me was the more interesting part. Than do your job. Well, yeah, I know, Bill. I know I have to get off this block and make this tackle.
Is this the sound effects that they're playing right now?
I think it is.
It could be.
It'll be on.
But it was really good. I thought the Bill speech to the defense was really good. It's on a million times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, do your job. And Logan Ryan's like, I'm trying. He's bigger than me. I'm trying to caught the damn ball.
I'm trying to cover him.
You do your job.
But I did think the way he was telling them, like, listen, just trust your preparation. The game plan is working. We know what they're going to do. This is what they're doing. There are no surprises here. And I thought that was interesting.
Okay, since it is Thursday, I did want to throw a couple more things out there, one of which is the halftime show, which I think was the greatest ever. And most people agree with me.
Most people,
Eric.
I'd like to know one person
Eric.
That agrees.
Eric,
I didn't say greatest I didn't say ever? It was, no. I didn't say it was the greatest ever.
Because he has no testicles and he'll never say something.
Well, because
definitively.
I can't remember all of them.
Neither can I, but I can say it's the greatest ever because it was the most recent.
But it was certainly better than I originally thought. I went back and watched that too.
Yeah,
and
you did say that.
It was it was pretty entertaining.
And that's what
I could have done without Missy Elliott. And Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, I didn't really understand Missy.
She was fine
was
on her own.
It, you know, it's
no,
like,
but I didn't think she was bad. I just didn't really understand why Missy Elliott had like this. She must be tied in somehow to either Katy Perry's record or Pepsi or
yeah. I didn't.
Somebody was trying to reignite her career by putting her with Katy Perry on the Super Bowl.
I could have done without her, but the rest of it I thought was pretty good.
The visual,
the visual was good. The songs are all pretty you know catchy.
See, I
you're an old fart. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, I'm not a Katy Perry fan.
You don't have to be a Katy Perry fan to enjoy entertainment, energy, lights, balls.
I didn't think the music was that great. I thought balloons. I thought until the end when she goes on the NBC More You Know star, I thought it was pretty lifeless. I didn't think it was – I thought it was disjointed.
Watch it on television.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I haven't
watch
done
the
that.
TV version.
I thought it actually was really good in person, better than most of them. I have felt some in the past felt like they were made for TV. I felt like this, you could kind of see the whole spectacle.
Well, you were also in the stands, in the auxiliary press, so
right.
you could hear it better than we could. They didn't really pump the sound in to the press box.
But to me, the audio on these things is always questioned. It's like a concert. I don't think you get the best audio going to a concert.
Although, I didn't realize this, too. She, at one point, tells the crowd to sing the verse, and they all sing it. So, they all heard what she was saying clearly enough, and they knew, you know, they were knowledgeable about the lyrics of the song, so they were able to do it. I thought that was pretty cool.
It was awesome.
I'll tell you, it was better than Tom Petty halftime. Last time we were in Arizona.
I liked the Tom Petty halftime.
I didn't.
There was only three songs.
Yeah,
but
I didn't think it was that great. I just, you know. I nothing comes close to U2.
And U2, that's was, not fair. U2 was phenomenal.
I know, I was just going to say, it's not fair, but that was the
it was
best.
Phenomenal.
That was the best.
That was the best.
But I think Madonna was better than Katy Perry.
Ugh.
From a production standpoint, a music
terrible.
Standpoint.
Terrible.
I just thought it was better.
Poop.
You know?
And then the other thing, I don't know how much we wanted to talk about it at all, but I saw Triple H at the postgame party.
Yeah, you said that already.
That's awesome.
You said that yesterday.
And I thought that was the best postgame party that we've ever had.
Stephanie's pretty
I would have to
cute.
Agree.
With Pitbull and Flo
Although
Rida.
The 0-1... Did you go to the 0-1?
Yeah.
That was better.
Who was it?
It was more intimate. And, you know, it was less about the acts. I don't even remember who
I don't
played.
Think there was one. I almost don't remember.
I think there was a New Orleans
band or something.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
But I think it was just a jazz band. Like,
oh, really?
Random.
I mean, people got a chance to take a picture with the crafts and the trophy. To me, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, but everything has changed.
But right. But so again, that was the best.
Right, but
it
that
will
was
never
different.
Be that again.
But I'm comparing
we'll
it just
to it, but that
the party.
The yeah.
All the other ones fell flat. Yeah. They had
in
Paul's
in
guys.
In terms of logistics and being able to move from room
Earth,
to room,
Wind, and, Fire.
And how they spread out the acts, this was the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
The food was great. The music was great.
Yeah.
There was some very attractive
I love
women.
Pitbull. I go back to, I think Pitbull.
He killed it.
He was
it
good.
Was the best.
Yeah,
I thought
Flo Rida was
pretty good. Flo Rida and Pitbull both nailed it.
Yeah.
But all the ladies were looking good.
I love Earth, Wind, and Fire, but you have to eliminate any post-game party that follows a loss.
Sure.
Sorry.
Sure. Right. But I didn't think the winning ones were that good either.
Yeah, the Giants
but let's
won.
Just, well, let's not blame it on Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, right. You know, you shut your mouth over there.
Michelle, who loves it when I call a shallada, says Florio is a douche, but Silver is a bigger one.
Yep,
I always get into him on Twitter. He now calls me his BFF after I tell him what a toolbox he is. And as far as Bruce Irvin goes, he might not even know that he wouldn't have been on the field had they won. Don't talk about us not being classy when you're the one that got ejected. They can all just kiss the rings.
Yeah, Michael Silver had another one. Did you see his story with Pete and the text back? And he took the time, and he's texting back and forth with me and spending his time
is he the new,
with me.
Well, I saw he tweeted Peter King? Out, he tweeted out a picture of him and Robert.
Unbelievable.
You know, so happy for this guy or something like that. I'm like,
he's unbelievable. You even, somebody take his phone away
from
him.
Are you having any semblance of any kind of credibility that you're trying to get?
But I don't even care about credibility. You can lack credibility and still actually be writing a story about the event and not you.
Right.
It's always him.
Right.
I don't care about credibility. It's always about him.
You know when it started? It started with that Seattle-Green Bay game when he had that picture of him going off the field and talking to
No, but he's been doing this
just
before.
Happened.
Right.
That
been doing
put him
this.
In the limelight.
Yes.
That
it increased his Q rate, whatever.
You're right, Fred.
But before that, he was always writing about, I was sitting at the bar with so-and-so.
And he's very talented.
Sure.
He's a gifted writer, but he is so self-absorbed.
I would take the eye off your keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. He's very self-absorbed.
Write about the subject, not yourself.
Yeah. And the selfies, you know, I guess, you know, he's doing what people do on social media, but God, it's...
Well, you must really hate him with the selfies.
I just don't like it.
Oh, boy. Now, they're showing video of Gronk and the...
good
Lord.
All right. Let's see. Should we get into emails and phone calls?
Sure.
Why not?
Why not?
You
already read an email, actually.
Afternoon, Cork Soakers. This is Jason in Chiba. Now he's in New Hampshire. First, let me echo the sentiments of all the other Patriots faithful. I'm exitant. Is that a word? E-X-H-A-T-A-N-T. Exitant. Eric.
Say it again.
E-X-H-A-T-A-N-T.
I
bet you it's a word. I just don't know it. Still a little traumatized by the emotional highs and lows of the game, but really, life doesn't have to be kind to me for a little while here, because who effing cares? The Pats won. And I want to remind everyone that Paul called it. Malcolm Butler was discovered by Paul, and without his insight, we wouldn't have won. Ergo, Paul won the Super Bowl for the Patriots. We are gathered here in praise of Paul.
What's that now?
Okay, then.
He discovered Malcolm Butler. I think he actually signed him as a rookie free agent.
You ready? 3, 2.
What?
What do you got?
Oh, I was asking how to spell it again. E X H A.
Yeah.
T-A-N-T. Oh, T-A-N-T.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you in a second.
Johnny in L.A., the season finale of Inside the NFL is an absolute must watch. Several players and coaches were mic'd up for the Super Bowl, and the coverage is sensational. True football porn if you're a Patriots fan. This doesn't get old, watching it, reading it, about it, talking about it, thinking about it, dreaming about it, reliving it. It's honestly the best feeling in the world. It really is.
Eric agrees with me.
I don't know if the best feeling in the world, but it's a great feeling.
I don't agree with you. I have other feelings.
It would be the second best feeling in the world. I would agree with that.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, you vested in it. You've defended him. You know, you've stuck with him all year.
You're invested.
And then you get the payoff at the end.
Did the Patriots?
It's the happy ending. Happy
That's
endings.
What I was just smirking at.
Unfrickin' believable. You're not allowed to celebrate now?
What's the matter?
This his and hers show has Bruce. Apparently it's his and his today. Did the Patriots do too much during the show?
That wasn't very nice.
Like, parade.
That was not very nice. She's not a handsome woman, though, I have to admit.
Well, she couldn't unbutton it much more than Fred, and she has no cleavage showing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
But why are they? You're not allowed to celebrate anymore. You're not allowed to have fun, release,
right? Make fun of, you know,
right?
You know, whatever.
I mean, I know people were getting Blunt held up the bitch mode T-shirt, and Edelman punched out Sherman. But whatever, who cares?
They're just having fun.
Just
they're blowing off
fun.
Steam.
Yeah. They're because they're not allowed to ever do it.
Exactly.
I don't know if they're allowed to do this either. I don't know if
and
Bill's
now
gonna
they
call
were allowed
in.
To do it with Although, the teacher in the
room.
Always
right.
You know,
they're
so
always allowed
better.
To do it after the game.
Well, after the season, mostly.
Well,
they can't do this
after
stuff.
The game. They're
going all
take
in.
Shot, and I have no problem with it. That's fine.
Glenn and Newton, I know physical toughness and mental toughness sounds like coach speak, and everyone wants to play physical. But there is one shining example of one player slash team being more physical than another. In Super Bowl 48, Demaryius Thomas gets drilled by Chancellor, and the Broncos look scared and confused the rest of the game, result blowout. Super Bowl 49, Edelman gets drilled by Chancellor illegally and then tries to get up and score. Result, Edelman catches game-winning touchdown later, Patriots win. Can I coin a new phrase or meme to go around? Edelmantium, hardest element in football.
Making up all kinds of words today.
Well, that's from the that's from X-Men, right? The adamantium?
Is it?
Isn't that what the Wolverine has?
Oh, is that right?
So I think he's playing off of that.
Okay.
Also, you got to be careful there. I mean, I know it's great and it's a fun story, but it's, you know, we celebrate it until he's in a vegetable.
He'll be on the Broncos then. We won't worry about it.
No, I know. It's great. Yeah, he's tough, but we now know that being tough and getting up isn't always smart.
Connor writes, I've been carrying the guilt of losing the perfect season and have felt personally responsible for the past 7 years. Let me explain. I'm in the Air Force.
Thank you for your service.
And was deployed to Iraq for the entire 2007 season. As it turned out, the Patriots didn't lose a single game while I was there. Unfortunately, I returned home 3 days before the Super Bowl, and, well, we all know what happened. So, yeah, it was my fault we lost. I should have stayed in Iraq an extra week to finish the perfect season. Well, I'm happy to say I'm deployed again, and I left the night of the Ravens game, and wouldn't you know it, the Patriots are undefeated while I'm deployed. My conscience is clear, and now we're the friggin' champs again. I'm glad I could do my part. P.S., when the game ended, it was time for breakfast on this side of the world. I didn't know what to eat, so I asked my buddy, the Seahawk fan, should I have a 3-MVP omelet or a 4-Super Bowl over easy? He had no response. And thanks for listening over there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the Armed Forces Radio Network,
right,
I was going
to say, we're like the Armed Forces.
Have you seen Brian Williams lately?
I think so.
Is he toast or what?
Yes, I would hope so.
He's going to get fired.
How can you have a
Seriously.
News guy?
He should get fired.
The whole thing is about credibility.
Right.
You're the
Fred,
news
I
anchor.
Couldn't agree more.
Right.
He's gone.
Right.
He's
I will never
be.
Listen to him again.
You won't have the ability, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think he's gone.
I never did anyway.
And
but,
he should be.
But in that job,
did you know he was.
You can't have that.
Remember, he did the thing at the Super Bowl. He had an opening package on the big screen.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, yeah.
He did, yeah.
I forgot. I wasn't really listening, but
he's toast.
He should be. That's him. Like that's beyond ridiculous. And I don't even know how you think.
Plus, he's from Canada.
But how do you think you're going to get away with that?
Brian Williams is too.
You're going on national.
You're thinking of Peter Jennings.
Oh, Peter Jennings. I think
the late Peter Jennings.
Okay,
but
I think that's
is Brian thinking. Williams too.
He might be.
Blame Canada.
Yeah, he might be.
But how do you think you're going to get away with that on national TV twice?
Well,
and you kind of got away with it once on national TV.
You got away with it. And the fact that he would continue it is amazing to me.
Well, and I guess throughout there were at least one guy who was there saying, you're lying.
Right.
Why do you keep lying?
But how does that not come out?
I don't know.
Like, because I know I heard him on EI say NBC never called back. Well, how about just local papers or major papers or any mag? In this day and age of websites and magazines and Drudge Reports and what's that, Vice and all these things, how does this go on for a couple of years?
Yeah. And I get it. He was in the helicopter behind, and because of the hit, they all had to land. But you weren't in the helicopter.
He could have told
you
the story
rescued,
as a good story.
Right.
You didn't have to make it a great story.
Right.
And that's what he tried to do. He tried to make it a great story.
And I don't believe the whole fog of war thing, you know? You knew which helicopter
the
you
exact
were
opposite.
In, you know?
You would know damn well whether your copter got hit or not.
Right.
Like, that's not something you forget or it's hazy or anything.
Right.
Embarrassing. Just, And the way he, you know, it was like, I don't know, almost mocking the people. Like he was trying to praise them for saving him, but because it didn't actually happen, you're kind of mocking them. It felt like it was all about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I
absolutely.
Disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful.
Speaking of NBC, Aaron has a long email, but I'll get to the part where he didn't like the coverage. He says, I've never really noticed how bad the coverage of a game could be, but NBC's coverage was pretty poor. In particular, there is no extended footage of what happens to Butler after the interception. I want to see what happens between Hightower sort of guiding him down and when he gets to the sideline and Blunt and others are talking to him. There seems to be a gap between the moment Butler hits the ground and when he's on the sideline. The celebration that prompted the flag doesn't seem to be on file. Well, they've explained that one. And I've watched a lot of coverage over the last few days, of course. I hope that footage turns up because I want to see Butler's and the team's reaction immediately after the catch and the trip to the sideline. Anyway, thank you for keeping us out-of-towners sane after the loss and losses. And so fantastic we can celebrate this win. I feel like I'm back home in Boston. Thank you, guys. It's Aaron from Long Island.
Well, that'll be in the Three Games to Glory set, right?
Yeah.
What did you say about the explanation? They explained
There was the celebration that the Seahawks got flagged on. The guy that caught the pass.
He's talking about the Patriots.
He's talking about the Patriots
celebration penalty.
Oh.
On the interception.
We had a penalty. Oh, you mean
we got a penalty?
We got the interception.
No, we got an on the interception. No. There
the
was
interception
an
interception was down at the 2 yard line. They got a penalty.
They got a penalty
it to the one.
I think it's because they took their helmets off.
Plus half the field, half the sideline was on the field.
But, I mean, isn't that an automatic one? The helmet.
Yeah.
Well, unless it's
the Cowboys and the game is fixed.
Right. Exactly. But there was another one that NBC
Patriots,
explained away.
The poop one.
The poop one. NBC said they made a conscious decision not to show that again because there was a lot of other stuff.
That's
really
the only thing.
Any meaning to the play.
I disagree. I think it was a meaningful play in the game. Now, the fact that it turned out not to be meaningful because the Seahawks stopped the Patriots 3-and-out and it was irrelevant, they couldn't have known that.
But they said that had it been relevant, they would have gone back and showed what led up to that sequence. They said that.
That's crap.
Well, I don't know. That's what they said.
Pardon the pun.
They said if
based
it had
on what Baldwin did.
They said in the long run, if it had become a factor in,
that's
the
only
they
thing
would have
I disagree.
Gone back and showed
the coverage. I mean, the camera angles, and I think NBC does it better than the other networks do. I think they're, you know, they should. I mean, they put a little bit more into the games with the Sunday night package and all that. But some of the angles and replays that they have are incredible.
Well,
I think their production values are higher than the other networks.
Not in the stadium.
The only thing that I didn't like was that they didn't. They never showed that play.
And why did he poop?
And it wasn't that bad. Right. Like, I mean, what are we, like a bunch of Puritans? We can't see a guy pretending to poop out a football?
And
he deserved the penalty. You can't use the football as a prop. I get it.
But why did he do it? Like, I don't get it.
He wouldn't say. He had one of those rambling, no,
about
it wasn't for
mother?
That. It wasn't for this. It wasn't for that. What he wouldn't really say. But it was a classless DB thing to do. And he got penalized for it.
I think
that fans deserve
really
to see it. There was a 15-yard penalty called in the game that no one knows why. Because they wouldn't show it. That's ridiculous.
Can you imagine if Joe Buck had been doing the game? I apologize.
That's exactly what it was like.
Right.
Only they took it a step further, Andy, and they didn't even show it to us. At least we knew why Joe Buck was going on a holier-than-thou rant.
Could have been like the illegal substitutions. They just didn't know what was going on, so they didn't do it.
What was the game where Brady – that was the Packers where he was swearing on the sideline. And
some people
criticized – the network for showing it more than once.
Right.
But that wasn't NBC.
CBS.
That was CBS. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Brad is on the Eastern Shore. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. What a season. It is just so awesome. In keeping with the four that I have is, after listening to you guys for 8 years, finally able to meet Paul and Andy and Kevin and Eric from afar down at the Redskins practice with my son. And so that just started the season off on an awesome note. Following the Bengals game, where we were pretty much written off for dead, and, you know, people were literally saying that Andy Dalton was going to show Brady the new era of football. and we came out and just absolutely destroyed him. To the Ravens, you know, being here in Maryland and West Virginia, the Ravens game going down by 2 touchdowns twice and coming back and winning it was just, you know, just absolutely incredible. And then the emotions of the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's interesting how we just seem to continue with the father-son thing. I mean, I've watched the last 5 Super Bowls with my dad, and when that interception came, I mean, my dad's face just fell. And I looked at him and I said, I can't believe we're going to lose another one like this. And we both just sat there. Our families were there. And the next, the next play, it's like down to the 1 yard line. And we're just stunned. And all of a sudden, my dad just, at age 78, rockets out of his chair when that interception happened. And it was just so cool to see the emotions that all of us as Pats fans go through. It's like we live and we die with how this team goes. And I think that's what makes us so neat compared to, you know, passive fans that, yeah, we watched the game. Yeah, it was a good game. For Pats fans, no. It's either an awesome game or an awful game. So the one bad thing I thought that just stood out that I haven't heard anybody mention yet was Dan Patrick's consistent emphasis to Gronk. How's it feel to hold the trophy again? Yeah. And I'm sitting there going,
he took a lot of heat.
He never
that.
Held the friggin' right. trophy. It's his first trophy. And when Gronk just looked at him and didn't answer about 30 seconds later, he asks it again. And Gronk finally looked at him and goes, it's my first one.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I didn't Gronk, see that either.
Oh, yeah.
Gronk
yeah,
tried post-game. To give him the out and just kind of deflected it. And then he asked it again. He's like, I never won this before. Like, wow.
Yeah, he got a lot of heat for that, too.
Yeah, was
Dan
it?
He should.
Was it Coward?
Colin Coward was ripping him.
Yeah, ironically. I saw something about, like, he needs 30 producers to do yeah. his work. And from what I understand, Colin Coward has about 30 producers to do his show for him.
Right. Wow.
But anyway, guys, a great season. Looking forward to, you know, obviously basking in the glory of this for a while and getting the apparel suitable for it, and then moving on to doing it again next year because, as Belichick says, hey, it's a game. We're going to enjoy this one for a while, but we got work to do tomorrow.
All right, thanks, Brad.
Not too long. Combine's coming. Franchise tag's coming.
I already have the slogan yeah. for next year.
Did you steal this one from an email or two?
Thumbs up. Apostrophe S
mm-hmm.
for next year.
I don't love it.
I don't care.
I know. That was evident with the poster you passed out on the field.
Thumbs up. Because you can't do one for the thumb because that's what the Steelers did. But thumbs yeah. up. The next one is for the thumb.
Drive for five.
Drive for five, yeah. Thumbs up.
Or 5 and 15.
I like thumbs up.
I know you do. That's what we'll go with because when you like it, we go with it. And then people mock it and we have to defend it.
San Francisco is still the only stadium that Brady's never played in, correct?
Well, the new one, yeah.
He didn't play in the old one either.
He'll never play in that one.
They actually, yeah.
But I mean, he's never played at San Francisco.
I mean, San Francisco.
He's never played at Dallas either.
Yes,
no.
He's played at Dallas.
No.
He's played at Dallas.
I'm talking about the city.
He's never played a game at San Francisco, period.
He's never played a game in San Francisco.
But now he still won't.
And it was the team he rooted for growing up.
We only played at the Niners once, and it was 2008 when he was hurt.
Okay, all right.
So
where is the new one again?
Santa Clara.
But he would be playing in the Bay Area. In his final.
His final whatever?
The final game of next year, possibly.
We'll be playing against the team that he grew up rooting for.
No, in the
city.
We're talking about the Super Bowl next year.
The Super Bowl is in San Francisco next year.
50.
Yeah.
So it's possible he could be playing the final of all the games that. Of all the NFL cities he's never played in, there's only one, the one that he grew up rooting for. So it would be fitting if he could go to the Super Bowl next year and play in.
That would be
San
something.
Francisco.
That would be something.
5 and 50.
Yep. That would be something.
Yeah, we get his fifth in Super
See,
Bowl 50.
That'll be our cover next year that we pass out. Super Bowl 50 with a big five
big
when
five.
They win it.
Yep. All right.
I don't think there's any reason.
You got to re-sign Revis first.
No, I know, but yeah. And you stole that from somebody. Did you see that on Twitter?
What?
Re-sign,
No.
Rinse, repeat, or whatever?
It might be. I didn't steal it from anyone.
I know you don't know you do, but you read things, and then you just automatically sort of parrot them out.
You know it is possible for people to have independent thoughts.
Right.
Yeah, but a guy sent in an email with that phrase on Tuesday. Fred didn't read it on air and then said it on
That was in an email?
Yes.
I don't remember.
I know you don't. Just like that joke about, I might as well save him the trouble and put it in the toilet or something. You think you came up with that, then you didn't.
It's unbelievable. Only he can have an original thought.
No, the guy called you out, not me, on Twitter. The guy who sent the email in called you out.
About throwing it in the toilet?
No, the rinse, repeat, or whatever.
Well, that's not what we said anyway.
No, whatever you said. I don't even know what you
said. I don't even remember.
Oh, of course you don't. Yeah.
So two people can't think, you know, similarly.
I just think it's curious that you thought it the day after he emailed it in, and you read the email.
Well, I
You're
mean,
the
it's
only
all
one who reads emails.
It's all in the aftermath of winning the Super Bowl. So,
right.
I mean, you know.
I know.
You mad, bro?
I'm not.
I'm not mad. The guy wasn't even mad that you stole his idea. Yeah. He just said it's all in fun. It's good, guys. As long as you know who gave it to
you. He had a laugh at
sure.
your expense.
Oh, I was also a little offended at how many people found me so quickly in that photo you tweeted out.
Well,
and his head size, you can't miss that. Third row right the end.
It was really interesting because I knew where we were, obviously. So when I zoomed in on it, I was like, I showed Beth. I go, oh, look, this me, Andy, Kenny. Mike and Chris. You could see as clear as day. And she was laughing. But we knew where we were.
Right.
Like, if you were just looking at that, you had a scan.
But I found it pretty quickly, I have to admit.
And a lot of – when you tweeted that out, I must have gotten 10 within a half hour.
Yeah.
One guy was mad.
He goes, Fred, next time make it tougher to find. It's like it's not something I created.
Some guy said it looks like an Apple commercial. I didn't really understand that.
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't get that reference.
Yeah.
And they said, I'm a terrible Where's Waldo because my head's too big.
It reminded me of that Star Wars funny. Scene where they were dressing
– The Galactic Senate.
Yeah, people were also criticizing. Oh, yeah. That I can see.
Did you see Andy from EEI chime in?
Yes. There were plenty of chimings in. But I also happen to be looking to be looking right at the camera.
Right.
Where I don't even know where that camera would have been.
Just start the game.
Yeah. Who took that picture?
That was pregame?
I don't know when it was.
Was that a fan who took the picture? Or was that
I don't know.
No, it was one of our photographers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So was that field level up to us?
No, he was pointing up, I think.
I think that's what he said. He just asked you if it was field level.
Whatever.
Looking up.
Christian Fourier. Oh, yeah, it wasn't early. Because early, Scrap was in the auxiliary press till Christian Fourier came in and pulled rank.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Was Scrap or Fourier?
Fourier was there.
It was Fourier.
So it was like second quarter maybe? Or?
Yeah, Western.
Really? Well, it was evidently, supposed to be.
He didn't have a seat.
Evidently.
And he kicked out Scrap.
Look at the video. Maybe that picture wasn't.
Well, Brady's doing it now. He gets up and shakes his hand.
He does get up eventually.
He gets up and he shakes his hand, and they talk for a few minutes.
Yeah.
They made it out to be the way they put the picture out there that Brady blew him off and pretended he was doing the prayer thing.
How out of context they can do things like that. But I do think Brady kind of teased him a little.
I do, too. There was a hesitation before he got up.
I think he teased him a little bit.
You will wait for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the look. I would need to see his face because I think there's a chance his eyes were closed and he didn't even know he was there.
It could be. Yeah, it could be.
But I also would say Sherman has gotten a lot of static for going over to him in an effort to, quote, unquote, steal his moment. Like he wanted to get in and photobomb him.
Oh, no.
Which I hate Sherman. I hate his act. I hate everything about it. I have zero problem with anything Sherman did after the game
was over.
He's a better loser
than a
winner.
Right. Yeah.
After the game was over, he did everything the way I would want my players to do it.
I love you, Jules.
I hate everything he does before that.
Want to make out?
And then did you see the photo of Bill and his daughter that was getting criticized on the internet?
This gets really bad over here when they show Brady and Mark Wahlberg comes up to him and just becomes like the guy from Ted.
But Bill had a mouth-to-mouth kiss with his daughter that the moment they captured it, the New York Post was Belichick with a passionate kiss with his daughter or something.
Oh.
It was making the rounds the other day.
There's just so much that comes from this post game, there's so many cameras down there and different angles, and it's not just media; it's families with iPhones, and it's incredible amount of stuff that comes out of that post game.
How did Mark Wahlberg get on the field?
I mean, I even got down there.
He's Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, but so.
Mark Wahlberg. I don't know. He goes where he wants to go. He's a Patriots fan.
I snuck down there.
Yeah, I did too. Did you have to scan in? I thought that was a nice addition.
Dan, it's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
I thought that was a nice addition.
I did. I think it's cool.
Hey.
I got a couple of thank yous, an anecdote, and a question, so I'll try and get through them as quickly as possible, given a lot of people wanting to celebrate the win. First off, a thanks to John in Richmond, who got me into the training camp down here and with the Washington Redskins. I got a helmet signed by Julian Edelman, who obviously had himself a big year and a big Super Bowl, so that souvenir has become even more valuable now to me personally. Thanks also to you guys. Not only do you give us a show, which is like First Take, only the hosts are actually informed and know what they're talking about. And although it's kind of been more like shutting a bar with a whole bunch of friends, but you give us a community. It's not just you give us a group of family to belong to, through the Facebook pages and the Elite pages. It's more than just a show, but you guys obviously keep us very much entertained and very informed every week. So thanks for everything you guys have done for us this season. Quick anecdote. I don't think I shared this early in the year, but the day of the Cincinnati game, I was hiking with my family up a mountain down here near Virginia, and I was wearing a Patriots hat. Some guy comes down the trail the other way, and he says, "Sorry about Brady." And so I thought he was just having some good-natured ribbing, so I said, "We'll see." But he ended up being a jerk. He sort of kept on shouting it as we continued up the trail. And rather than push him off the mountain, I just thought, we'll see, we'll see. And, my faith was proved right in the most incredible ways. I thought the team would bounce back. I didn't think by any stretch, no matter how many people were jumping off the bandwagon and saying we should trade Brady and that the team was done, I knew the team would come back And, you know, I kind of hoped that they would get this far. But, I mean, just to see it all realized in the way that it happened, as everyone else said, it was such an emotional roller coaster. But just, I mean, this season has just been epic in any number of ways. It wasn't just a Super Bowl win, but the way the events and the things that they triumphed over, it's huge. And to be part of it, to be part of the whole thing, it's just been incredible. So, and to watch it all, I mean, I watched the game again last night, and it's only just starting to sink in. You know, just given the yet another catch, another circus catch, and then go from that to, you know, Malcolm Butler of all people stepping up and making that play. I mean, I'm having trouble believing it at times, but it's just the whole season with the Super Bowl has just been epic. So, my question is, how many times did Fred need a defibrillator at the end of the game? And if so, did Paul, Andy, and Eric stand around debating which one of them was going to give Fred mouth-to-mouth should he need it?
Well, we were in a – thanks, Dan, for the call. We were actually in separate areas.
It's weird. Eric just jumps on him and run right at him. He was still breathing at the time.
I think I held up pretty well.
You did. Yeah. I think you were in a massive state of shock, though. Normally, you would be cheering or doing something. And I don't think you made a sound. You were just kind of like looking around like
– right.
In disbelief.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, you reminded me of something. Fred almost missed the game. Remember when we got to the stadium, I found this little black bag that was lying in the front seat.
Oh yeah.
And
I
said, "Does this belong to anybody?" Whatever. It was Fred's. And he guess he didn't hear me. So we get to the press box. We're setting up, and he says, "Hey, did you happen to see a black bag with us?" And
I
was like, "Yeah, I did. I thought you heard me calling it out." He's like, "Ah." He's like, "It's all my cords, my cables." And his phone was dying, and he needed the cables. So he leaves the press box, and he's like, "I'm going to go get it." He's like, because we were there, you know, 4 hours ahead of time.
No reentry.
So, yeah. You know when you scan the things? Apparently, if you leave, you're supposed to scan out.
Right.
And so he left and didn't know that, and he gets back.
No. Even if you scan out, certain tickets don't allow reentry. So you scan. If it comes up red, you can't come back in.
Right, and he didn't know that.
That's what happened.
So he goes out to the van to get his cables, and he comes back.
No.
What?
I was with the guy, and he's like, "Oh, it came up red." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, you can't come back in." I'm like, "Oh, man, is there someone I can talk to?"
Oh, that's right. That's
right. And so he brought me to a supervisor who was standing right there, and the guy's like, "Oh, you came up red, huh?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I'm just right out here." And he's like, "Look, just find me when you come back in." And it was just like, just so, you know, refreshing to have someone who like treats you like a human being. And even in a Super Bowl, realize he's probably telling the truth. I'll remember what he looks like because I was the only guy in the press box with an Orvis cap on, according to Andy.
Oh, no, according to facts.
There were other guys with caps.
Not though. Orvis, though.
So
there were
very
other guys
unique.
With caps.
Every cap was unique.
Well, there was like three, because no one wears a hat to a Super Bowl.
Well, I did.
You, Woody Johnson, and some other guy.
I needed a haircut bad.
You did.
Terrible. But and he let me back in, which was nice.
So did you did to scan back in?
No, he said, "Don't scan back in, because
right.
Then it'll flag you. Just find me, and I'll let you back in."
Did you scan out at the end of the game?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, you were supposed to. They're looking for you. They want to know why you're still in the stadium.
You're wanted.
Where were you supposed to scan out?
There were scanners on your way.
Oh, I didn't scan out. I did not scan
out.
You
just said yes.
I scanned out at that time, and it came up
red.
Oh,
yeah, you probably wouldn't have been.
Right.
Yeah, because you guys were out before us. Andy and I, with Chris, Mike, and Kenny, all came down together to go back to the van, and we all scanned out.
Yeah, I didn't have to scan out.
I thought
out
it was kind of cool.
Reason.
Well, I was down in the interview area, remember, where all the podiums were, and then I was trying to find my way out. And I said, I just asked the security person, I was like, how do I get out of here?
I took the stairs up to 100.
That's what he said. He said, go up to the 100 level, and then that should get you outside. And I did. I just went outside, and I ended up near where we went in.
Oh, yeah, that's where the scanner was.
But there was nothing there.
There was nothing there.
There was no scanner there.
There was no scanner.
Okay.
I just took that road and just walked out.
And just
walked
back.
The gate open.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I did.
We went out the exact same door that we went in.
Oh, see, I didn't.
I'm still having Vietnam flashbacks. So I'm walking from the bottom floor up to the 400 level low by stairs. I couldn't do that Empire State Building thing. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be able to do that. My legs were on.
I'm
hurting a little.
I almost had a Paul Perillo moment from back in the Green Bay game where I almost missed the game too. Bunch of Seahawks fans going in the exit for the men's bathroom when the lines.
You got in a fight before the game?
Oh, yeah, it was close.
At least I was getting.
No, there's a line of like a hundred people, and all these guys in Seahawks jerseys, ignoring the line and going, cutting everybody and going in the exit line. So me and some other New Englanders pointed out the correct way to enter the men's bathroom.
Why did you do it the right way?
Hey, Sully.
Yeah.
Who's this guy cutting the line?
Mike is in Australia. Hey, Mike.
I got to go to the bathroom.
G'day.
G'day.
G'day, Mike.
Hey, how are ya?
Great.
Good, good. Just wanted to give a quick call about my Super Bowl experience and had a bit of a day off work for it. And, yeah, enjoyed the game greatly. Me and six mates watched it, and for a few of them, it was their first game as well. So,
nice.
I think I've converted a few Patriots fans out there now.
Are you in Australia right now? It's pretty early, isn't it?
Yeah. It's nearly 2 o'clock in the morning. So,
What are you doing?
I actually work late, so I'm got home from work a little while ago.
So, you're going to get your friends to buy some apparel? Are they full-fledged apparel-wearing members of Patriot Nation now?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they will. But about my party as well, we decided to start the morning. The game started for us at 7:30 in the morning, and we decided that was a good time to crack open a carton of Budweiser. And between the six of us, we polished that off pretty well. So,
not Foster's.
Yeah.
No, that's no one drinks Foster's there.
Really?
No.
We've gone through this on the PPGS.
TV, right?
Yeah, you can't even get it over here. It's rubbish. So.
Yeah.
What's a good Australian beer?
Most of them drink imports from America, we found out.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
Well, no, we do. We do.
If you wanted to get an Australian beer, what would you get?
VB.
VB,
right?
No. That's got a pretty bad nickname to that, but I won't say it on the air, so.
I want to know.
Good one is Carlton Draft.
Carlton Draft.
Or Draft, yeah.
Draft, not bra.
Draft,
not brow.
Yeah. Carlton, sorry. Is that what you said?
Yeah, like from
Carlton,
Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
But Budweiser, the king of beers.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. We also cooked up some buffalo wings and some dry rub pork ribs as well for that. So it was a pretty amazing day.
Kangaroo ribs. Great.
You can do them, actually, yeah.
Just really? You eat kangaroo ribs?
Little Joey?
You can.
Don't eat.
Is that legal?
Yeah, you can buy it from any supermarket. So.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, just a quick question before I go.
What is it?
I'm not sure how familiar you guys are with Australian rules football.
Not very.
No.
But there's,
not much.
Okay, but there's basically a technique that people do, which is it's called the kappa, where essentially you jump on either opponent or your teammate's shoulders to kind of get elevation to catch the ball up at a high point.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, would that be technically pass interference in
You're not allowed to do that in American football, using a person to aid you to jump.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not, like, you can't step on somebody and jump. You can't jump on their shoulders. A person can't lift you. You can't do that type of thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you see guys kind of a teammate pushing another guy in the end zone. Technically, I think that's not allowed.
But
what?
Devlin did it twice against the Colts.
Yeah.
Remember
when
he pushed Brady for two first downs?
They let it go the other way.
Yeah, I think, it's not legal, though.
I think pushing is different than actually picking up.
Yeah.
I think the aiding is actually picking a guy up.
Yeah.
In carry.
Well, I didn't think you were able to push him forward.
Because I've never, ever, ever seen
they don't call
called.
They don't
I
call
haven't either.
They will on the Patriots eventually to cost them a big game.
Yeah. So I don't think that pushing is the same as aiding, but that's just the way I've always.
I made a big deal about Reggie Bush with
the Bush push.
Liner.
I just remember in that New York Giants game years ago when Meggett helped push
Coates
into the end zone. They said, "Oh, that should have been a penalty."
I don't remember anybody saying that.
I do,
but I mean, I believe it.
Different voices, different heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but they didn't call it. Is my bottom line.
They
so
never
if it was
do.
A penalty, why wouldn't they?
They kind of look the other way.
If you ever get a spare second, maybe just jump on YouTube and look up Aussie Rules Kappa, CAPPA, and
Kappa.
Check it out. It's a pretty interesting technique that we do in our game. So.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that. Thanks, Mike, for
enjoy
calling
the Budweisers.
Yep. You see people do it in the NBA sometimes, guys trying to get leverage on a guy on a dunk or on a rebound. It's not legal there either.
Right.
Sounds like an Urban Dictionary term. The Australian Kappa.
Speaking of jumping over the line and
give it the old Kappa.
Those kinds of things. Did you see the report on Cam Chancellor? He talked to the website, Seattle's website.
Yeah, MCL.
Tore his MCL the day before the game.
Now, was that a full tear or a partial?
I don't know. He just said he tore his MCL.
So that's what he was playing on?
Yeah. That was in the Friday. Remember, he got added to the injury report
on
Friday.
Yeah, on Friday. Yep.
Let's go to Fidel from Florida. Hey, Fidel.
Just swam over.
Hey, you guys. What's up?
Oh. Hey.
What a season. What a season.
Yep.
Fred, were you mentally prepared to lose that game?
I was not mentally prepared to lose that game.
Well, but you had to have been mentally prepared at the end.
Yeah, I was starting to
accept it.
Yeah. What do they say when you – I forget the –
accept your fate?
Something like that when you're preparing for someone to die. You make your
– make your peace and you resign to the fact that you could lose.
I was going through that process at the end.
And I think Tom Brady was too.
Yeah.
Tom Brady said as much.
And that's why I think Eric says, you know, I look shocked. I probably was, you know. Mm-hmm. It was almost like I was dead and somebody brought me back to life.
Yeah.
And you're like, where am I?
All right, I'm going to keep this question short and sweet, like Andy's wife.
What?
Why is everyone saying
I don't care for that.
He pays,
it's my mother we made fun of on this show.
$20 for Revis when the tag is $13 million this year.
What? Because he's under contract.
You can't tag a guy who's under contract.
You can't rip up a guy's contract and put and franchise him. That,
right.
You know, he's under contract because he signed a two-year contract when we signed him.
And I actually also believe in the reporting was even at the end of this deal, he cannot be franchised.
Yeah.
I believe I read that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think Andy's right, but it's irrelevant in this case because you can't not pick up the option, which makes him a free agent.
Right.
Yeah. You can't.
Is there any way to work a long-term contract before the free agency starts?
There is.
Yes, there is. Will they? I don't know.
They have to work hard. What, they have to March 1st to do it or something like that? Or
there is
March 10th.
10th is
March
the 10th. Bonus.
That's, yeah, there is a date, though.
I believe the 10th. That has to be picked up by the 10th.
Yeah.
Or not picked
I
up
I think
by
that's
the
start of the league year,
so
the 10th.
They really need to work hard here.
Yeah, and what's your gut tell you?
80% back.
But under what? Under his current contract?
No, I think like 2% on his.
And I actually think that's going to happen maybe sooner rather than later because I think your whole offseason hinges on that.
Yeah.
What are you doing with McCourty? What are you doing with Gostkowski? Because if now you're stuck at $25 million or at least kind of in holding pattern, the franchise tag happens in the next 10 days or whatever, or it's coming up on us. That happens long before that March 10th deadline. You're holding everything up. I don't think you can do that. I think you need to get this done relatively soon. Relatively.
Okay. Thanks, Fidel. Let's go to Paulie in L.A. Hey, Paulie.
Gentlemen.
What's up?
I am so pumped. I feel like it's been 7 years of pent-up frustration and just like, yeah.
Right.
So you think
like
you're
like a bukkake joy over here.
Oh, whoa. I don't think we can say that on this show, can we?
What? Wow. You know what that is? Dude?
Yes.
You know what that is, Andy?
Yes, I do.
Sick puppy. You're a sick man.
You're the one who said it.
Yeah, you're the one who knows what it is.
So do you.
What did he say?
I didn't hear anything.
I don't know. It's an inappropriate term. I'm not sure we should be saying.
Hey, guys, I got to say, it's been echoed all week, and I got to say it again. Love the coverage that you guys provide. I love this show. I love the maniacs that call in. I love, love, love it. It's a joy to be a part of it. And you guys really make it fun, and I love hanging out with you guys 3 days a week. And I'm sad that it's going back to two, but I'll take it.
Yep. Well, thank you, Paulie.
Thanks, Paulie.
You got it, man. Hey, Paul, I got to give you some props really quick. This whole season, you kept saying things like, but when you get into the playoffs, you have to win a game by 2 or 3 points. And it happened. You put us right. You know, we were in that mindset. I feel like this team this whole year, this whole season, has won those kind of games. And when it came down to the wire, somehow, I mean, you know, that Jets game was a fingertip, you know, with Wolfork. I know the game in the big picture doesn't mean as much. But I think there was a lot of that by this defense this season, and I think that was a lot. That was great to feel this year to have that, and not be like, here we go. Oh boy,
it's true. And I also go back to what Robert Kraft said a few times this season about the feeling he got from the locker room and how they just seemed to be a real tight-knit team. The chemistry was right. You know, and he's been, you know, now an owner for 20 years, and so he's seen a lot of locker rooms. And he made it a point to bring that out a few times this year. And I think that had – they all believed in each other. And I think
I agree. Yeah. I love all the stories coming out of how they were walking around saying, you know, I love you, I love you, I got your back.
Right.
That's exciting to hear that they're, you know, fearless to show that much passion and, you know, support for each other with no fear. And I think that's huge. Andy, I feel like I'm doing my checklist for the year. Like, I got to go down this. Andy, you said something about Butler in camp a few times, you and Paul, and Eric, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
You guys all mentioned him at camp. I mean, Devlin? Is Devlin first year or second year? I can't remember.
Well, he's a second year player, but he's been in the league for a few years. Yeah.
Right. It's interesting because, you know, much like back in the day when you were saying G-Force and H-Bomb, I feel like Butler came up a couple of times. And I think he's one of those guys who he didn't, for me, for as exciting as he was to have him make that huge play, you know, play of the Millennium kind of a thing, I feel like he's been there. I didn't feel like I didn't say, oh, who was that guy?
Yeah,
right.
He was actually my choice to be the rookie free agent who makes the team.
Oh, yeah. He was the star of the summer. Everybody was in love with him just from the physical.
You saw flashes. You saw him making plays.
Well, the first thing you see is just the physical, you know, what do they call him, Scrap or Scrappy or whatever they nicknamed that. That's a guy that's competing.
Yep.
And that's the first thing. And those are the guys that make it. It's not always the guy that's just, like, so skillfully talented, you know, the hip flip and the smooth coverage.
Revis actually said to me that. He's like, I was like, where did the nickname come from? He said, I don't know. He came up to me in camp and said, call me Scrap.
That doesn't surprise me after seeing him make the media rounds.
Will Fork actually talked about it and back in the summer, I did the getting to know with him, and he said that as soon as he got here, they started calling him Scrap. So since I've been up here, it's Scrap. Right. And Will Fork said that he just was, we call him Scrap because he was just so scrappy. I mean, he was always around the ball and making plays and stuff like that. So, and that's kind of I don't want to overstate how good the three of us thought he was. All I can tell you is you have a pool of 20 guys out there that no one really knows a lot about, right? You know, the undrafted rookies, first-year guys that really haven't done anything, even in college football, to be anything more than what they are in training camps. He was so far ahead of the other guys in that position, you know, in that situation, that he stuck out. He was always around the ball.
Yeah.
Even when he allowed plays, he was very competitive in doing it. And the next play, he would come right back. That's the thing I liked about him, because Andy's right. He got beat a lot. He got beat a lot for completions. But the next play, he played it the same way.
Right.
They're all of a sudden they're 10 yards back.
Yeah.
Yeah, after giving up a play.
To you on that, just to echo why I'm bringing that up, because I agree with you. It's not about, you know, oh, suddenly everybody liked him. I completely agree with you, Paulie. Exactly. And Fred, for me, the reason I'm saying that is because that's why I love this show. You guys are eyes, boots on the ground, eyes on the field. You get the game. You love this team. You support this team. You guys are the guys out there. I'm in California. I can't make it to a practice. I can only read the articles. I can listen to you guys talk. I'm just saying that for me, looking at it, just like, you know, to put it back to Andy, that G-Force moment, you were so amped up that preseason, Andy. To this day, I remember how jacked you came in and you were like, God, just the G-Force and H-Bomb, we're going to win everything. You were out of your mind, and I feel the same way. It's so exciting to it feels like you're a part of it, whether you're there or not. You guys do a good job, but you deserve credit for that.
Thanks, Paul.
So I thank you guys for that.
And we've eliminated H-Bomb from the discussion.
Yeah.
for obvious reasons.
Paulie, H-Bomb takes on a different connotation.
Never forget.
Yeah. He may have actually used an H-Bomb
Paulie
in one of his killings.
You know,
which, by the way, he's talking about it, and this is, you know, patting ourselves on the back, but I will say, if you are a Patriots fan and that really want all in, the training camp blog entries and all that crap,
we
post 2,000 words
stuff
of minutia and might be irrelevant, but it might not be irrelevant.
Right.
You never know which one of those guys
up and down.
You know, because he was ahead of Browner and Dennard in the summer.
Right.
But you don't know when that's just, you know, the veteran, the youngster, the scrappy, the things will start to slot in.
And you could see in the preseason games, they were giving him runs.
He played a ton.
Right.
He played wire to wire in like three different games in the preseason. And to Andy's point, it was hard to understand. And we wrote it all the time, and we kept using the qualifier. I don't know if it's because Dennard's not quite healthy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because they're preparing Browner, knowing they're going to be without him the first month.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, 29, at the time he was number 29, keeps showing up. And, I didn't know exactly why it was, but he kept making plays. And, listen, there's like Andy says, it's 2,000 words. You don't know which of those unknown guys that – they end up cutting, and you never hear from them
again.
Oh,
yeah. There are plenty. There are 10 of those for every one Malcolm Butler we talk about.
Doesn't mean Daxton Swanson didn't make some plays in training camp, too.
Right.
We wrote about him a lot.
Right.
But he didn't make plays like Butler did.
Right.
And, you know, Daxton Swanson has sort of been on and off the practice squad.
Right.
And
that's the thing.
Kind of irrelevant.
If someone just knows us from this radio show, you heard, us talking about that. But in the paper and online, our training camp coverage is really second to none. And, you'll hear other radio shows. Those radio guys, they don't come to practice. They might come to one. You know, these guys are there every practice.
And I'll end the continued patting ourselves on the back here with one thing, in terms of that. You know, Andy talked about the blog and the training camp blog and the 2,000 words plus that's just the blog. That's just observations. The whole encapsulated update every day is another 2,000 words of everything you could
plus
possibly
the podcast.
Want. Mike Reese, who is one of the nicest people in this business, probably not just in this business, just in general, he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met, who does as tireless work as anybody, said to me yesterday about the Malcolm Butler thing. That's how I found out about Malcolm Butler. You guys kept writing about him, and I hadn't really noticed them. And he reads everything. Mike, and he's like, that's why he said to me, that's why your training camp coverage is the best. Because that's an opportunity that we have.
Right.
We can do something.
We have unlimited space.
Everybody else can do it.
Right.
And knowledge.
But we can't go out there and tell you with any certainty that the Patriots will be re-signing Darrelle Revis next week, and it's going to be a 3-year deal for $60 million. We can't tell you that for sure. That's what other writers can do. They can break news. We can't, but we can go out to training camp practice when we're allowed to be there for the whole practice, and we can chronicle every single thing that we see.
Break
we're allowed to do that.
And we're also not afraid to be wrong.
No.
I think other people sometimes they have to check
I don't
with
know
a
if
scout.
That's why he was out there.
If the scout tells me that Butler can do this, then maybe I'll write it. We just write everything and say, here it is. I don't know whether this is right or wrong. This is what we observe.
And
exactly.
I'll return the compliment to Mike. A lot of times Mike likes to watch linemen. And those he loves watching the one-on-one drills with
and
the offense.
And we know Paul does not.
And first of all, they always do them very far away from me, and I don't see that well. So they're always way down.
I don't see that well.
No, I wear contact lenses, and they're always way down the other end of the field.
Yeah.
And there's usually
Dante's Inferno.
There's usually a line of players that block your view. And Mike always has his binoculars out, and he loves to chart that. I read a lot of his because I respect his analysis of one-on-one block. Like Andy said, sometimes. All these guys, they need to run to a scout to find out, hey, is Tom Brady any good? He seems like he's pretty good. 37 for 50 seems pretty good. But did I see that right? Right, wrong, or indifferent, we don't need someone to tell us something. We throw it out there, and sometimes we're wrong. But on that particular one, I think the three of us were right on. Mostly me.
Phil and...
Herein's the patting on our back.
No, I so bad want to have Andy just start yelling at me about Malcolm Butler, like I do to him
Paul,
about all the other guys.
You said
that
you
creates.
Did say it, but it wasn't an original thought. Someone else had
someone
said
tweeted
it.
It to me.
Right.
I have another question for you and Eric, who were in the press box. At the end of the game, the reaction in the press box in terms of noise on the curse bobbled catch, and then the Butler pick. What was the atmosphere like in the press box?
I guess for me it was almost like the fog of war, but I don't remember a lot of
the
verbal.
Curse, the curse catch.
He doesn't believe in the fog of war. The curse catch was almost it's dead silence because I think people were like looking around at each other saying, "Did he catch that?"
Right.
There was sort of like a mumbling. There was like, "What happened?"
I remember saying, "Okay, now we got to have the goal line stand of the millennium. I said that out loud.
But I'm not necessarily meaning what was going through your mind.
No, I said it.
But what I'm saying is, you know when a play happens and the press box is like, oh!
Yeah. Was there any of that for either one of those plays? I think people were so busy writing or doing whatever they want. You know, they had the...
So it was basically quiet.
It was quiet.
On both plays.
On both plays.
Okay, now I want to...
Do
you have a difference of opinion?
Well, our scout... friend who was next to us, he basically like when Butler intercepted, he banged the table and jumped out of his seat and ran out.
Now, the story was told, I believe, yesterday on the radio. I might have been on TV. Our buddy Tommy Curran, and the reason why, because I just didn't buy when the story was relayed to me, so I didn't really hear Tom say it. In my defense, secondhand story, but he said that when everybody wanted the Seahawks to win so badly nationally, which I don't doubt. I think a lot of national writers were rooting against the Patriots.
Right.
He said it was a celebration unlike he's ever heard when Kurse caught the pass in a press box.
What?
He's never heard it that loud. You know, and then he said when Butler picked off the pass, it was like you could hear a pin drop.
See, I don't...
I said to myself, there's no way... I said to myself it would have to have been the same reaction, because when those kinds of plays happen in press boxes... There is an audible reaction generally.
Sure. Mm. As a sportsman.
I can't imagine that there was one reaction and then no reaction on those two plays.
It could have been the fog of war for me, but I don't remember that.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what you guys thought. You were there. Yeah. Me and Andy were out in the stands where they obviously went absolutely ballistic.
It's a pretty big press box.
I just remember people being shocked with both plays. And I don't remember it being like a cheer
one way or the other.
I just remember it being sort of like a,
Yeah.
Like that kind
of. Who reported this, Paul? Tom Curran had mentioned it.
Now, I do remember when they, you know how they in 5 minutes they say, okay, with 5 minutes you'll be able to go. Well, it was 7 minutes for the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
And then they announced it, and not a person
Nobody left.
And we're all leaving now.
That's when Fred turns to me and goes, yeah, like, we're going to leave this
game. If you had a chance, I mean, once the Patriots scored to make it 24-21, that we had already decided we weren't going down anyway. When they came to us at the beginning of the game and explained to us the seven-minute thing, Andy and I said,
it's just so stupid.
I ain't going anywhere. No. Right. I didn't come all the way to Arizona to cover the Super Bowl to watch it on TV in the media room.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Plus, with the way the game ends, it takes time for everybody
to get
everywhere.
Why can't they just extend it and make it a little bit more time before the players have to come out?
Exactly.
Why do they have to rush it down with 5 minutes?
Well, because I think
Andy and I did not leave our
field.
Seats until the game was already over.
Right.
And we sat around waiting for 15, 20 minutes before any players came in.
Yeah, it was not a problem.
Plenty of time.
Some people want to be able to access the field immediately.
Oh, that's different. Right. If your job is to get on the field to get reaction,
right,
then you have to get down there. I get that.
Is it your job or you want to? That's the other question.
It's not want to, Andy.
I was on the field as the confetti fell on me and Tom Brady. Always about the reporter.
Phil in Sussex, England. I just want to praise the PFW guys for all coming up with great predictions throughout the season. Andy, with his prediction for Gronk to play 19 games.
Sort of.
He didn't do it.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
Technically. Theoretically, you were right. Technically, you were wrong.
Correct.
Paul, he's been spot on with his Patriots picks pretty much all year, but particularly in the postseason, plus the Butler call. Fred Manning falling off a cliff would certainly happen post the Patriots game. Eric for being the one guy to predict that the Patriots would win the Super Bowl in the paper, which I know because he mentioned it on the show last week, and also in his pick on the website on Saturday. Also imagine how good the Patriots will be once Gronk is back from his year off.
Or if, you know, they ever win all those games he picked against him in the middle of the season.
Someone did tweet me about that, Eric, about the Gronk thing, and I forget who it was, but someone said, imagine if Gronk sat out the whole season like Eric wanted.
You wouldn't have won the Super
Bowl.
But, you know, it was just so evident that, you know, we all said, look, if Brady, Gronk, and Revis are healthy at the end of the season,
they're going to be competitive.
They've got as much chance as anyone,
exactly.
If not better. And sure enough, I mean, yeah, Gronk wasn't the star of the game, but he was a factor.
He was a huge factor.
You take him out, and
that grossly eliminates the other guys. It's a whole different.
Grossly limits the
absolutely.
Guys.
And Revis. Yeah, I mean, he had to play in the end zone with the ref pick play, but for the rest of the game,
he shut
them
down.
He didn't get thrown at. Sherman
didn't get thrown
at.
And then Brady's the MVP, you know?
And it's very simple again next year.
Right.
I will say the same thing. If Revis, Brady, and Gronk are healthy at the end of next year, they will be competing for the Super Bowl, because that obviously implies you re-signed Revis or kept Revis. But, I mean, it's because all the other stuff, you could get better. The youngest Super Bowl team ever, even with a 37-year-old quarterback. Your tackles are there. Your linebackers could be stars. Yeah, I mean, you have little things to fix and play with, but you should be there.
Thumbs up. Justin in
Drive
Virginia.
For five. Everybody likes it on Twitter.
Justin in Virginia.
Hey, what's going on? Oh, still hyped for the Super Bowl win. Let me tell you guys one thing that is really, like, I think it's just crazy how far we came from just looking at Malcolm Butler and training camp, wondering if he was going to beat them, you know what I mean? And having Eric guess us to go 3-13 and stuff like that. I think it's really crazy. One more question before I get out of here,
what?
Too. Shocking stat, I felt hard
to
believe.
I had them at 12-4.
I wanted to run by you guys. Did Brady really win more Super Bowls than Peyton Manning's even appeared in? If someone told me that, I felt hard to believe.
Well, Manning's been in two, right?
He's been in two.
Three, actually, but that's okay. He still
won
more.
That's right.
He still
won
more than Manning has been in.
Yeah. Three.
I think that was a sarcastic question.
Right.
You know, as long as we're going to answer it, well, let's answer it accurately. 4-3.
It was kind of like that thing. Did I say it yesterday? The
and then he hung up.
Well,
that's why I think it was sarcastic.
That's fine.
He drops the phone.
Oh, I see.
That Manning meme that was making the rounds where Brady called to leave him a message and. Yeah, I got your answering machine, you know, the one that says this is Peyton Manning, the greatest quarterback ever. I was surprised it went to that after one ring.
Ba-dum-bum. Good, though. Good. Joe in Charleston. Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Yep.
Woo! Congratulations, guys. Great work this year, and I'm actually going to go buy that PFW Weekly, become a subscriber, because I just can't take 2 days of you a week. I need more, so...
Well, do you have an iPad?
Well, I have a tablet,
and it's not
an iPad. So
that's Fred's
fault. Do you know if it has any Android support?
No, Fred
doesn't do that. That's Google's problem. They don't allow us on their newsstand because we're not big enough.
Yeah, they're from the West Coast, man. What do you want? Give them a ring, all right? Give them a ring to let you work on the tablet.
Okay? All right.
You give them something.
Yep.
No, I just wanted to say... I really enjoyed the coverage. I really enjoyed the game. My wife is a Seahawks fan, and watching with her, we're both pretty good sports. But that was probably the best Super Bowl I've ever been a part of.
Did you sleep on the couch that night?
What's that?
Did you have to sleep on the couch that night?
No, but she did have a good laugh at the cursed fumble and, you know, catch.
Yeah.
I kind of got it back with the interception, but whatever. It's fine. Thanks again to Paul and Andy for being lots of fun. I love that the Paul's already fighting with you, Fred, and it's day one. And I hope we get to hear Eric on the show more on the off season. I'm getting a little tired of him coming in for about 5 minutes, grumbling, and then leaving. So get on in here, Eric. Come on. Maybe we'll put you on the phone next time, okay?
I was on the show the entire season,
sort of.
Well, I love you. I'm glad that you're there, and I'm glad that you're such a good sport, Andy.
Good sport.
Just,
he's a lot of things.
He's ready to kill somebody
one of
right now.
Be nice. Yeah. Nice. For a little while. It's been a good year.
Well, I was just actually...
For Eric alone.
I was actually thinking, I would never last in that relationship because you know me. I never can shut up and never not say anything. So if my wife were a we would get divorced because I'd eventually piss her off to the point where she.
Right.
I mean, we would not have a good laugh about it after the game.
Rick in Louisville writes in, first listening to your show has made me realize I need to subscribe to PFW.
Yes.
My subscription is coming soon.
PFW online or 1-800-494-PATS.
1-800-494-PATS or PFWonline.com.
And as always, if you do have an iPad, Patriots Football Daily is available in the App Store.
Also, after this Super Bowl run, my wife has switched allegiances from the hater horseshoes to the Patriots. She told me that we need to take a family trip to Foxborough from Louisville next year. If we do that, how hard would it be for us to run you guys down at the studio you're working? Just pay your money.
A lot of people want
to. I love your work. I feel like you all really helped us Patriots fans through the whole hater nation Deflategate crap. It would be an honor to meet you guys. What we should have is like a little viewing area with a couch. We used to have a couch, but couch so we could entertain people and they don't, you know, they could be here but not have to, you know, take up space around the microphones and stuff. Just a viewing area, I guess.
Or, sure.
And when we go to break, they could clap.
Yeah.
Fan
exactly.
us. With those big frong.
Now on to football matters. What are the chances we lose Gostkowski? Would they dare franchise him? Couldn't they get a hometown discount? And has your opinion changed that the Patriots should re-sign Vereen? And finally, I love your argument from yesterday about Wilson going to the Texas Rangers, Fred. I seriously think Paul would argue with you that today is Thursday.
I love how it's Paul's fault. Because Fred would argue that it's Thursday, too. They're the same person.
And you wouldn't?
No, I would not.
Okay.
I don't have voices in my head like you guys do.
All he'd have to do is say that Katy Perry's halftime show stinks, and you would argue with him.
I'm ready to fight you. Okay, focus. Focus. There were actual questions in that email.
Vereen.
Gostkowski, I think, will be back. Vereen, I do not think will be back.
The chances became less when he just had a great Super Bowl game that could earn him a little more money, show his potential for an offense. I mean, he had good numbers this year, good sort of passing back, diverse numbers.
I just don't think
somebody's
going to
pay him. He doesn't. But somebody's going to pay him. He's going to make more than what they want to pay him, which because what they want to pay him is the bare nothing.
I mean,
they drafted James White for a reason.
I think it was an important – I don't want to understate what he did in the Super Bowl. I think it was an important part of the game plan to have some of those plays serve as the running plays, you know, like this little short gains. But 11 catches and averaging 5 yards a catch, he didn't make a lot of plays even in the Super Bowl for having 11 catches.
And I actually think it was
one
of his better games.
At least he didn't drop him.
He had that nice one-handed Falk-like reception. So I think he's gone. I think he's going to get some money somewhere, and they'll move on. Like they move on from every running back.
Like Edelman made in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he made like big plays to break tackles. Amendola made bigger plays.
I think he's the far more interesting one. A month and a half ago, Amendola was gone. Remember we were creating money to keep Revis, and it was Mayo takes a cut, Amendola's gone.
Amendola's off the books.
Well, is Amendola definitely gone?
No,
I think he is, but he made it a lot more difficult in the last month.
He's certainly not back at his current contract.
Eric, I remember there was a couple times with Vereen that audibly I said, just run.
Yeah.
And the scout kind of looked at me like.
Yeah. That's why he was punching Fred the whole game.
Well, I think that once they stopped trying to throw screens to him and then instead they had him going out into the flat and over the middle, I think his production increased
a little bit.
I think they're too fast to run screens on.
Well, even Brock, first play of the game, 1 yard gain off that little sideline pass, you know?
Yeah, they were fast. They were swarming.
I think the difference for Seattle was the Patriots eventually wore them down and they started missing those tackles. They tackled very well for most of the game, but in the fourth quarter, it wasn't a 4 yard pass and a 4 yard gain. It became 4 yard passes for 8 yard gains, and that was the difference.
He made some great catches, Vereen, in that Super Bowl.
I just didn't really recall.
That one-handed one was
the one-handed catch was a good
catch. Listen, you needed everything he did. You needed what he did,
but you won't need it next year because you'll have James White and a veteran.
Maybe we're swayed by the fact that we've seen him drop a lot of those kind of passes, and he caught pretty much everything that was thrown to him.
You know, even our boy Amendola, he had another drop.
Oh, yeah.
Another drop in the middle of the game, you know.
I just think to keep him would be an emotional reaction, and we know Bill will have a, this is what he's worth, this is what he's done, not in the last month, but in the last 2 years.
I'll say this. I'd like to know what they think of James White. Do they think he's a bust because he didn't play all year, or do they think he just wasn't quite ready, we'll make it like a redshirt year, and then next year he can step in and
Because
if it's the latter, I think there's a 0% chance that Vereen's back.
Right.
If they think James White can do something like what Vereen did this year, there's a 0% chance they're re-signing Vereen.
I already think there's a 0% chance because I think it'll be White. Even if they feel they need somebody else, they'll get some veteran that we're not really thinking about that's cheap and has no buzz instead of a fifth-year young second-round pick coming off a Super Bowl where he had 11 catches. I just think that's going to get him an opportunity somewhere.
Yeah. Do you ever think, though, in terms of the way the players, you know, and I don't want to say the hometown discount, but guys that really, really like it here. Because it seems like a lot of these guys, and that's the one cliche that I believe, is these guys really enjoyed playing on this team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Vereen just says, I don't care what it takes to my agent. I want to be back here. I don't know.
I'd quit as his agent.
No,
I mean, it's not in your
best
business interest. You got to capitalize while you can.
Right.
And if you have an opportunity.
This next contract is a big one.
If you can get a 3 year deal for, you know, $12 million, you take it. I'm sorry. Yeah. You got to do it instead of a 3 year deal for $4.5 million or something.
Oh, well, that's why I said I'm not talking about a hometown district. That gap is ridiculous.
I think that's what he would get offered here is just some low money, nothing contract.
But you think he'd be offered $8 million somewhere else?
I think there's a chance.
Okay, well, then there's no chance. And I'm with you then. 0% chance he's back.
And I don't know who's going to fill the void, but I think somebody will. That other email where the guy said his wife just jumped ship.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a good call on her part. Like, the Patriots are on top right now.
No, she just became a Patriots fan.
No, I know. To leave
the
Colts.
She left the Colts to go to the Patriots now.
For a year or two, I think that's the right call. For the next decade, Colts might be the better. You might laugh last if you stay with the Colts.
Mike writes in, men of PFW, including Eric, I'm still basking in the afterglow of the latest and possibly most satisfying Patriots championship. I have a question that I haven't heard discussed yet by the media. After Brady's final TD pass of the game, he raised his right arm and lowers it deliberately, clearly pointing at someone or something. What was it? And by the way, classic fight between Fred and Paul yesterday, completely meaningless and yet so powerful.
I believe it was Josh.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not positive. I think he pointed to Josh. But I don't know if I'm thinking about the same play that you're talking about. They kind of blend together.
His last TD, that's LaFell?
No, it was Edelman.
Edelman?
Eric's right. You just like checked out during the game. LaFell caught the first touchdown and then really nothing else the rest of the game.
Yeah, I don't remember him.
I'd have to see it. Yeah. My guess would be either pointing at the receiver or at the coach.
I thought it was toward the sideline.
I thought it was toward Josh McDaniels.
I thought it was Josh.
As he should. Yeah, I don't hear anybody trying to run Josh out of town. Remember? Yeah, maybe when he goes to Atlanta, we'll get a real offensive coordinator.
Oh, Andy, I'll give you the
dinks and dunks and
dips. It's amazing how many different lives Malcolm Butler affected. If the Patriots lost this game 31-28, I will guarantee you that Josh McDaniels would be taking crap for abandoning the run. Despite the fact that they could not run for a yard in this game. I'll guarantee it that people would say, you got to run the ball. He did exactly what we all, you thought they were going to run a little bit more than
they did. And they did. They did exactly what I thought they were going to do. And I thought they had a little bit of success in the first half with Blunt. I thought they softened up that defense a little. And I can remember we were doing the first quarter, and it was all about LeGarrette Blount. And he had a couple nice
runs. Laughing.
He had a couple, like, 6-7 yard runs, and that's what I expected
to do. They averaged less than 3 yards a carry on 20 carries, I think.
Well, and they said, we're putting it away in the second half.
No, but they ran the ball 20 times. It just didn't get any yards on it.
Much like the Packers did. They put the ball away. They stopped having success running the ball. I just don't think you can go in and say, flat out, we're going to throw it nonstop. I thought they ran exactly what I expected.
Question, did we see any video from the Kraft box after the interception? Like what the celebration was like in the box? I don't remember seeing
anything. I don't remember seeing that.
I haven't.
No.
Yeah. I don't remember seeing that.
I saw it after the Edelman touchdown.
From all the other winning Super Bowls, we saw them hugging and everything. But I don't remember seeing anything after this one.
No.
That's a good point.
Do we have our own cameras? Like what? Yeah. How many?
Two.
Oh, that's it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering if we had a camera on the box.
I don't know if we employ other people, but I know we have two people down here with cameras.
Yeah. I haven't seen that.
No, they weren't taping the defensive signals.
Well, NBC probably had so many cameras focused on, like, the balls and how inflated they were and not inflated.
Right.
So just couldn't put one on the owner.
Fred, I know you were making a joke, but I just want to clarify that that's our cameras are different than what you're talking about. And that joke you just made about taping the signals.
Oh, right.
You're talking about Kraft Sports Productions,
right,
Matt
exactly.
No Sox.
Yeah.
We have two cameras. They were never involved in it.
I know. That's correct.
I just want to kind of separate that.
Yeah.
Somewhere fans are going, or were they?
It was the team video when they actually video the game as for scouting purposes. And
in front of 80,000 people.
The all 22.
We did it in front of 80,000 people just like everybody else was doing. And if we were wrong, we were penalized for that. That was good, Bill. That was good, Bill.
That was good, Bill. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey.
Hey, I got a couple of questions. Was I the only person that immediately after this Super Bowl, I felt like I was really thinking about Mankins? I was like, wow. I mean, just the chances of that happening, you know?
Yep, you were the only one.
Really?
Yeah, I.
Someone mentioned it on Twitter yesterday, kind of feeling a little bit bad for him that, you know, he arrived the year after they won and he left the year that they won again.
Well, it's his fault.
Right.
They got manhandled in the Super Bowls. He's Mankins. He's a guard. I mean, it all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Fraud.
And then the only thing else I was going to say was that kind of with the – I thought it was weird, too. I guess I'm the only person really going to not complain about a Super Bowl loss, but it was funny to me how those people were during the game when Russell Wilson was getting free. And I thought that, you know, you're supposed to – there was a lot of wild – they were running in there so wild trying to get Russell Wilson. They ran towards him. It's like it was a – the lack of breaking down. Did you all just find that weird that they constantly kept doing that and just being so wild?
I just think he's impossible to tackle in the open field.
I think that was all him, and he did. He made them all look silly at various times. Jones, Collins, Ninkovich. He did it to all of them.
I don't think he ran enough.
I don't think they were overly reckless in their rushes. I just think he's that
good. It's like
good.
A matador.
But
the bull comes and he just steps to the
well,
side.
Well, that's the thing. It's not a hectic style.
Right. It's very controlled.
It's so controlled and casual, and then boom, he's gone.
Your
boy's that little.
Yeah.
Your boy Felger yesterday compared it. He says, like, Tony Romo is extremely elusive in the pocket, but it looks like he's exerting every ounce of energy he has. He's ducking, he's spinning, right. He's turning out, and you're like, my God, how did he get out of that? Russell Wilson just makes you look easy.
And he just moved.
Like,
he
moved. Oh, you're over there? I'm just going to take a little step. I'm going to take a little step to my left here, and you're going to run by here, and then I'm,
he looks like if you saw, you know, a weird example, but like Steve Burton in the media game about a decade ago, he looks like he's at a different level athletically.
How much better he was than
the rest of us. You were playing with little kids and you would just kind of do a little bob and they would go by, like, it's so easy and casual for him.
Right. Can I say one more thing, Fred? I'm sorry, I'm going to get off.
All right.
But, like, do you all agree that I've also, you know, heard a lot of people say that when we talk about Revis and Browner, it kind of reminds me of Gronk and Hernandez because I just feel like that people are boosting up Browner somewhat to be like Revis, but I don't think they're quite on that level. I've heard that just a lot, maybe with just the media or just people like, man, they got those two studs. And I was like, well, one of them's really good, but if Browner was our number one corner, I feel like things would be a whole lot different.
We have been preaching that all year here.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not Revis and Browner. It's Revis.
Browner certainly gave them depth that they've never had.
Browner has been good, but if Browner replaced Tlaib and that was all you did,
you
would not be better than you were last year on defense.
Just like it was never Gronk and Hernandez. It was Gronk and and then Hernandez.
And I think, and I say that fully acknowledging that Browner has been good.
Right.
Even though he gets a lot of penalties, he's been a good addition to that secondary.
And Hernandez was good.
And the day we won. So who cares? We won.
That's right.
Yeah.
They all get the same ring.
All right, Melvin.
Same ring.
All right.
Imagine if they did rings by, like, value, like Brady got a big one, and Nate Ebner gets this little teeny one.
No, that's not the way they would do it. Nate Ebner would get a big ring. Special teams guy.
He's such an idiot.
Four-down player.
Oh, yeah, did we talk about Scott O'Brien retiring?
We mentioned it on the show yesterday.
Yeah, but he'll remain with the team.
Yeah, I still don't understand what that
means. I don't either. I don't understand.
Think of all the other ones, though, like Googe. Like, Googe was, like, under fire for a month. And now they won the Super Bowl, so you wouldn't even think of Googe not being back.
Right.
Because he was the Super Bowl assistant coach, offensive line. But, stuff just changes in the whole dynamic.
It absolutely does. Yeah.
Now he's,
I mean, Melvin brought up Mankins. I really hadn't thought of him.
I thought of him, yesterday maybe, it occurred to me. But I didn't think of him immediately after the Super Bowl.
Not at all.
I never thought of him
Think of it at all until I read it on Twitter. I think it was someone tweeted me, feeling bad for Mankins. He left. He got here in 05, the year after they won. Leaves the year that they win again. And he was, he had a great career in between, but never was able to win.
Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Just echoing what everybody was saying about the coverage this year, I rambled the other day and I really just forget to thank you guys for everything. I mean, Eric, Paul, Andy, Fred, all you guys. It's just so great throughout the year. It really is. And it's just you really are the go to source. And we love listening to you guys. You get us through everything, but. Everything that you guys write, from the training camps, all that stuff, mini camp stuff, it's great, great stuff. Not as great as the argument yesterday between Paul and Fred, but it's great stuff.
Sure.
That was 20 minutes of my life I won't get back. And I don't know if I want it back because I love when Paul gets mad like that. I love the anger. Paul, I'm cheering for Northeastern. Don't worry, go Northeastern.
Yeah, I am too. I don't have a lot of faith, but I'll be rooting for him.
Yep. And the inside the NFL, did you guys see that yet?
No, not yet.
I saw it last night, yes.
It was unbelievable, Patriot porn to the max. And the tackle that Dante Hightower made on Lynch before the interception was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Lynch is running, and then all of a sudden you just see this rocket come, and he just drills his shoulder right into his legs. And what a hit. I mean, what a play.
Yeah.
It really was. Oh. Someone, and you couldn't see that in the TV because everybody was so bunched together, and I just saw Lynch go down, but the replay of that was amazing.
They have a good shot of it, Christian, because you're right. There's a jumble of bodies, and all of a sudden you see Lynch go down.
But the angle, they have an angle from the end zone, and they show Lynch running towards the end zone, and then all of a sudden you just see Dante come flying in, right in his leg.
Ayers comes
he
over,
just,
too.
Boom,
he's
just takes him out, his feet out right from under him.
Yeah.
And the tip ball and the curse catch and the interception is from like four different camera angles. It was unbelievable. All different, angles they show the replays. It was sick. And America's Game, I know you guys touched upon that. Who you would want for that. I love it. I love all this stuff. We get all this stuff now. America's Game, everything. All the good stuff.
I know. Now we watch it.
Yeah, he's
just like mumbling to himself.
You're a babbling fool right now.
Hey, listen.
I know you rambled the other day, but you're rambling again today.
All right, this is, the last it's gotta be Brady, Gronk, and Revis. Those have to be the three of our busy. All right, I gotta go. Bye.
All right,
that would be ideal to get the big three. I don't think it will be.
Brady's in Costa Rica,
but I would like to get a guy with a lot of personality. That's why I mentioned Browner yesterday. Just someone like
Edelman.
That has a ton of personality. Yeah, Edelman might work. He would be a good candidate for them to ask for that. I just hope that he does the personality thing and not the.
Right.
Robot.
Because he can be a robot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Andrew in Connecticut writes in, not sure if anyone addressed this yet, but how come the Seahawks didn't get a 15-yard penalty for hitting Ryan Allen during the first punt of the Super Bowl? Obviously, it didn't impact the outcome of the game, but I was just wondering why it was only a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah, Collinsworth went off on that.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was right.
He said if you hit that plant leg, it's supposed to be 15 yards.
Yeah,
end of story.
I don't think that was roughing. I thought that was running into. I think it was a penalty, and I think they called it. But Collinsworth went off on that play.
Yeah, he was all about saying this plant leg thing. You know, if you hit that leg, it's supposed to be 15. I don't know.
Maybe he's right. Maybe that's an automatic. One of those automatics. I had never heard that it's an automatic no matter what happens. I thought it was a judgment call on the referee's part.
Paul's in Cambridge. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Finally getting a chance to call you guys. I became superstitious this season and just decided that I was going to wait till the end before I finally called in and said thanks for all you guys do. A couple of quick points I just wanted to make. One, I feel like nobody's actually given credit to Browner. I was really concerned going into the game that Browner was just going to put up the penalties and just, you know, give the Seahawks an unnecessary advantage just going down the field. And I feel like he really kept it clean. That deflection that he did from Matthews catch that almost happened was just, I thought it was a phenomenal play. And I feel like he just didn't get enough credit for, like, really cleaning up his act when it counted in the postseason. And then the other point I just wanted to make was, did you guys see the Kraft's response? I don't feel like you guys touched on this last week yet, about when he was asked about the Deflategate thing after he was accepting the trophy. I thought he handled it really well, where he just sort of deflected, you know, well, you know, they checked the balls and they were properly inflated and we didn't touch them for the whole game. I just thought it was a nice way for him to just sort of, you know, answer the question nicely, but just sort of, you know, stick it to them, because it was just ridiculous that they even bothered asking him that.
Was that with Sal Palantonio or up on the podium, or where was that?
It was right after the podium. It was right after he accepted from Goodell. He went off the stage, and then I think it was a sideline reporter walked up to him and asked. I can't remember her name, but I couldn't believe that she even bothered asking the question. It was like, really? Come on. We just won the Super Bowl, and, you know, just give it a second. For God's sake, they haven't even come up with a report yet.
You know, like I wrote, you guys probably haven't read my edit letter yet, but I wrote that I think most of the level-headed people, you know, nationally and locally, realized this was all nonsense, but the headline writers didn't, and it was low-hanging fruit, and, you know, it was the easy stuff to put in a headline and talk about on talk radio, but I think most people, whether you were, you know, local Patriots or national covering the NFL, realize this was nonsense. You know, don't you?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's how I felt about
it. Yeah,
but
it was just that, but the easy story was this, and so it got the most attention. But when you ask guys individually or people covering individually, say, yeah, it's stupid.
Well, it left the realm of football coverage and into news coverage. So a whole different group that's not familiar with the league, the topic, the sport.
Right.
You know, Brian Williams, Nightly News, is doing reports on
it. Well, he said he was in the bathroom with the guy.
But then it entered the theater of the absurd when everybody and their uncle was doing scientific tests.
Yeah, that's that whole thing.
P times V over R.
If I never get an email with an equal sign it again, I'll be a happy man.
That's true.
All right, thanks, Paul. Let's go to Danelle in the Bronx. Hey, Danelle.
Hey, Paul, Fred, Andy, what's going on?
Hey. What's up? Eric's here, too.
Oh, what's up, Eric? What's going on?
Yeah, very funny.
Hey, I just want to say, I know I got a lot of calls. I'll make this real quick. Man, the day was crazy. I mean, I damn near broke everything in my house celebrating and just going crazy, because, like, when Kurtz made that catch, I said in my head, oh, my God, Tom Brady's cursed.
Like, it's not meant to be.
Right.
I was like, it's just not meant to be. And then once Butler made the interception, right?
Tom Brady's blessed.
Never heard anybody say Tom Brady's cursed before.
Screaming in the house. I'm like, yes. It's me and my girl and a whole bunch of friends. I was like, yes. Paul Perillo was right. So wow. My girl was like,
Who's
Paul Perillo?
The explosion is coming at some point, and I am going to laugh so hard when it does. So, Andy is going to explode.
Hey, Donnell, you're a loser.
What about me knowing that Gronk should have been drafted?
I was like, he was right. Fucking Butler was pretty good or whatever. So, because I remember Mr. Short, you guys, and I just remember, I don't know if it was Paul and Andy, but I definitely remember Paul saying, you know, this guy, Malcolm Butler, he makes some plays. Not saying that you say he was great. But you always said that.
Certainly didn't envision him on the field in the Super Bowl. I have to say that.
Yeah, he made plays. And who wouldn't know? Like, right. That's crazy. Like, take Ellington out the game, but you put him in, and he made a couple of good plays. Like, that play he made on the ball, that first catch, I thought it was a pretty good play.
He made a lot of good plays in that game. He didn't play that much, but when he was out there, they went after him, and he came up big. It wasn't just the interception.
Did. Definitely did. I watched some of the mic'd up, and I just want to say, like, both leaderships by both quarterbacks was just great. Like, it was real good.
That was impressive on the inside the NFL, is to see these are two, and Michael Irvin actually goes off on it. He goes, you know, a lot of times in this league, we just make the quarterback the leader, and not all of them are equipped to be leaders. And these two guys, the epitome of what leading as the quarterback is all about, and you can see it on the sidelines, especially with Brady.
Yeah.
Definitely. And to piggyback off of what y'all were saying about Shane Marie resigning, I don't know if y'all looked at the future contracts with the Patriots, how they signed this guy, Deion Lewis. Mm-hmm. Something like Shane Marie a little bit.
It's tiny. And he was weird because he was kind of a workhorse back at Pitt, but he's like miniature. I don't know his exact numbers, but he is a tiny player. Yeah, he's here. He'll be here. Another guy to keep a name on in the running back thing is your guy, Paul, from the guy we got from the Panthers, from Stanford.
Gaffrey?
Yeah. As you're filling out roles.
Yeah. Not that kind of back.
No.
Another guy.
Maybe that pushes Bolden into a different role as more of a third. Because you love him.
I like Tyler Gaffney.
Yes, you said that.
Jag of all jags. He was a college jag.
So he's not going to win the Super Bowl for him next year,
Paul? Well, he probably will. But that jag of all jags. One of those guys with a million carries at Stanford for like 3 yards a pop.
All right thanks, Donnell. Nick writes in, just wondered if you guys saw the Brady interview with Marshall Faulk, Deion Sanders, and Michael Irvin after the game. Irvin and Sanders kept calling Tom, but Faulk kept saying Brady. And when they were talking to him,
to the point, it's already absurd.
Then the end of the interview happens, and Sanders and Irvin hug and give Brady props, but not Faulk. So what does Tom do? He rubs Falk's bald head in a great F-U moment. Me and my friends were crying, laughing, just stuck it up his ass.
Whoa.
Wow.
All right.
I like that. Marshall Faulk has to.
That had to have been difficult for Faulk.
Oh, yeah. And, it's too bad.
He kept calling him Brady to his face.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
that is weird.
According to Nick.
That is very weird. Hey, yeah. Brady, you.
that is weird.
Well, I don't know.
I'll reserve judgment until I see it.
Yeah, till the voices in his head respond.
Marcus in D.C. writes,
I think what you just said
calling.
Makes
Marcus,
a lot of
what's
sense.
Up?
I don't really envision that.
I haven't.
Nor can I speak.
Hey. What's up?
Great win. I mean, I was just ecstatic. I kept the energy going. And two things. Like you, Fred, the first is after that curse catch, everybody in Murphy's was falling out. One guy was on his knees on the ground with his face in his hands. And I'm just like, listen, all we need is the greatest stop of our lives.
Right.
Let's just make it happen. And the interception happened, and we went crazy. I'm actually shoot you all a video of it. Somebody caught it on tape, and I'll shoot that to you. But second thing, the Baldwin celebration. I'm not sure if I can say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. What he was doing was shitting on Revis.
Oh, now you can't say that.
Sorry. Well,
He was.
That's what the prop was. It was. So that's what that was all about.
Yeah. 2-4 touchdown. Yep.
That was Sherman.
All right, fellas.
Yeah, Sherman. Right?
He was
talking about
awesome.
Baldwin.
Oh, I don't know. What was Baldwin doing?
Baldwin's
he pooped
the ball out.
Yeah.
Oh, you think that was on Revis?
That's what he says.
I don't think
it might have been.
I don't know.
It might have been. I'm not willing to
dismiss
that.
Yeah, no, he said before the game that he was going to have something for Revis.
Oh, okay.
And so when he
why are they so mad at Revis?
That was his way of saying, ah, this is what I'm doing on.
Well, Revis... Sherman's thing is that Sherman and Revis are considered the best
quarterbacks
in football.
No, I know, but did Revis say something like taunting or
anything? No, but it's the same thing like the guy that goes in the bar to punch Mike Tyson. You're proving something. He's the best, and I beat the best, and I'm taking it out on, like...
Right. The Baldwin
it's a hierarchy.
Totally
I know, but
different.
Revis never said I'm better than anyone.
No, but it doesn't matter.
I don't know.
It's a measuring stick.
It just seems like a one-way kind of argument.
It is.
But that's what Sherman does. He argues that he's the best. He's out there. He has that
But with Patrick Peterson kind of got involved with it. Remember, they were back and forth.
But, Fred, for example, last year, and I know Aaron Andrews, some people may not respect her, but he goes, don't ever talk to me. Who's talking to you?
That
wasn't a story for a week that she was aware of, and then he's going to respond.
A sorry-ass receiver like Michael Crabtree.
She had to ask, who's talking to you, Richard?
Yeah, who's talking bad about you? And I know
so
people have made fun
of
Aaron
Andrews
for that.
I thought
that
it's was a great question. It's very Patriots-like to hear people ripping you or whatever, or pick out one little phrase like a movie poster and say, and put that in your brain, and it just gets you in a frothing lather.
Okay.
And ironically, after they lose, you're really thinking, I got to get to Sherman's podium to hear all these ridiculous things that he says, and he does nothing but praise the Patriots. I was very disappointed by that.
Andy had his kid.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Or she did?
Well, yeah, he didn't.
Let's go to Alex in Florida. Hey, Alex.
Monday.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
What's up?
Nothing like repeated agony and ecstasy all within a three-hour period of time.
I kind
of
like the way you said that.
Ecstasy, baby.
Hey.
Is this overnight?
I have a quick question. What do you think they're going to do with Ridley and Easley? And I want to just take a look forward at the draft. What do you think that we need?
Well, with Easley, they're going to hope he gets healthy and he's in his second year.
Yeah,
so
it's almost like another first-round pick.
Yeah. Yeah,
it seems like such a bust. I don't know.
Oh, no. Not yet. It's too early. He could be.
He was
not,
a major disappointment.
Yeah.
And for those of you that noticed, I was very critical of people calling up talking about the draft, but I'm going to let Alex in Florida do it because
she said ecstasy.
I kind of like the way she talks.
Thanks, Alex.
Hung up on her.
Oh, I thought, well, that was it. Ridley and Easley. What do you think of Ridley?
I think he has a chance to be back because I'm not sure he's going to have a lot of options. I think Andy hit that right as soon as he tore his ACL. You now have a chance to re-sign him because... Who's going to want a running back coming off a torn ACL that's not Adrian Peterson? I mean,
running backs can barely find contracts, healthy coming off decent years.
He may not have gotten a big offer as it was. Now he's coming off a torn ACL.
Right. I haven't done the work yet. We are obviously behind, but I'm hearing people hyping this up as the greatest free agent class ever.
Yeah, really? we need our list.
Deion Sue, who's a free agent? I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of guys that people are assuming are going to be free agents as well, which
like
may
Revis.
Or may not, like Larry Fitzgerald, Darrell Revis, guys like that.
Okay. I'm not into that mode yet.
But I haven't seen much analysis of the free agent class.
I mean, I think we assume the Patriots aren't really in the free agent class mode.
Well, and they also have, they have a fair amount of players, their own players to, in addition to Revis, you have McCourty and Gostowski.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I don't think anybody will I think everybody would be happy if they don't sign a single free agent. They just take care of their own.
I would have no problem with just bringing the band back. This is a good team.
Can you, though?
I don't know.
Sounds like McCourty's at, and Bert Breer just tweeted out there's been no contact of late between the Patriots and the McCourty side. And, $9.6 million will be the franchise tag for him. And I still think that all ties into Revis when you start. You can't overpay McCourty if you're overpaying Revis. You can't overpay your kicker, Gostowski, if you're overpaying Revis and McCourty.
If you lose Revis.
Then you blow it up. Trade Brady.
Foxy, you'll
listen you have to
use that next year.
Don't you have to get McCourty back if you lose Revis?
Why? So our defense can be bad again?
But you think it's going to be better without both of them?
Right.
No, but I don't think it was great with McCourty there and no Revis.
No, but at least he's some
stability. I know, I understand that, but at least you can bring – you're starting at a level that you were at in 13.
Right, not good enough.
Right. So
bad on third down, giving
so
up
now,
big plays.
So now you take two guys out, and now you got to get two quality players to
but
replace
But that depends
them.
On what you think of McCourty, how good you think he
is. Well, I mean, I don't think that
– I'm not overpaying him just so I don't
I don't
quote,
think McCourty
suck.
Is a great safety, but I think he's a good one. I think he's worth
$10 million?
I would rather resign him to a
deal.
$8.5
million or whatever?
I'd rather not franchise him.
Yeah, but he's going to get big money, right? He's going to be a $40 or $50 million contract. I don't know that I want that. Certainly, I don't know that I want that without Revis, because now I just think Oh, great. So I got Logan Ryan back there. And I just...
Oh, I don't want that.
Well, whatever. Malcolm Butler, you love him. He's the greatest thing to sure football, according either. To Paul Perillo.
I knew it was coming.
Sybil in,
I knew it.
Sybil in Northeast Connecticut. We have a cartoonist in France who once drew a cartoon that I think relates perfectly to Tom Brady. A solitary male figure stands on a hill buffered by the winds. The caption reads, "I've always forgiven those who offended me, but I have the list." I think Brian Morey did that, didn't he? After a magnificent season,
a lot of people taking shots at Brady.
After a magnificent season and looking back to all the critics and wishes from fans and media, Tom Brady achieved what the greatest offense in football history could not do last year with all their weapons. Turns out we had weapons too, and the best in the world: Edelman, Gronk, Vereen, Amendola, not to mention our offensive line, and one secret weapon: undrafted free rookie free agent Malcolm Butler. What a finish! I'm looking forward to the riveting off-season podcast. You guys should be tied and gagged and made to listen to yesterday's podcast with no possibility of adjusting the volume. Oh, okay.
That's not our fault.
But you can't wait to listen to more. So that's good.
That's our producer's fault.
He wasn't
right.
here.
Oh, that's right. He had a parade to go to yesterday. So right. he had to hire a fill-in.
Well, he's busy now. He's not listening.
He's always busy. Never busy with the show, but always busy.
Andrew writes in, "What a game. First time that I've been fully into football and seen a Super Bowl win. When Butler made the play, I just started screaming. That's why Bill loves him. Free agency could really help us get one for the thumb. We need to keep Revis. Edelman's sign yesterday was so perfect. Everybody should know it's really the Legion of Bitches, not the Legion of Boom. When me and my dad went to the game in Seattle a few years ago, the Seattle fans were obnoxious and extremely rude after the game. They were jumping on us basically and yelling in our ears to screw the Seattle. So screw Seattle fans. Chester and Portland should be hired by the team to keep the fans like in San Diego. I don't know if being in Canada complicates it, but I'll buy lunch." All right.
Nice.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him.
Okay.
And he just swore. But,
Ross in Canada, "I've been elated all week and have thoroughly enjoyed all of the coverage and stories of people's reactions and where they were for our miracle finish. Knowing it was going to be a very early morning next day, I switched from beer to water at halftime. Flash forward to start of the fourth quarter and Blunt getting stuffed three and short. Let the power guzzling renew. I'm not a nervous drinker, but I don't even want to say how much I consumed until Edelman caught the go-ahead touchdown. Okay, back to water. Then, the inevitable flashbacks of Tyree and Manningham. Maybe another beer won't hurt.
Hard stuff.
Butler, Malcolm freaking Butler. Forget the water, I thought. Just let the beer flow. And I was on to a sick day Monday morning.
Nice.
Hell of a season. Thanks for the year-round coverage. That's Ross in Canada."
Gene Merchkowski.
That's good. I guess there's a new story now about Deflategate on CBS.
What?
Esiason on Deflategate. Coordinated effort by Ravens and Colts to embarrass Tom Brady.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah,
that's
old.
Oh, okay. That's old. Let's see. John writes in, "I agree with Paul or Paulie exactly. You guys act like our eyes to everything we cannot make it to or see on TV. I did know about Butler because of your coverage. When everyone was acting amazed at work, I could talk about how well he played at practice and the preseason. If I still lived in New Bedford, I'd be making it up for training camp and as many practices as I'm allowed to see. Since I can't do that, you guys are the next best thing. You can't get that from other sources. Well, maybe except for Mike Reese. No, you are not right all the time, but not by a long shot. And some of you would rather the earth break in half than admit to being wrong. You remind me of it, New England, no matter how much you change your accent."
If you still lived in New Bedford, you wouldn't be living.
Why is that?
A lot of murders there.
Oh, is that right?
Bad place.
Okay. Let's see. Ames in Iowa. "Down here on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, the morning team got a whole segment, 'What if Belichick's son is found to be that assistant who took the balls into the room? Then it'd be delicious. The hate is palpable.'"
Well, I ain't got no problem with that.
Well, it was, turns
the
out,
Ravens can hate. The league can't hate.
Right.
That's
right.
The difference.
That's true.
It's okay for another team to hate and mock and do skits and whatever. The league can't be on that
level.
You've
been paying attention to any of the Pete Carroll stuff. He continues to talk. It seems like every day he's got another quote that comes out. It's very similar about how great the call was, you know, until it didn't work. And, you know, if it worked. He is primed, in my opinion, to be one of those really stubborn error repeaters. He's going to do this again to try to prove a point.
Right. He's done more interviews than Bill Belichick. And
yeah,
Belichick
who does he keep talking to?
Well, now he's had an exclusive sit-down with Matt Lauer.
Right.
You know, who flew all the way to Seattle to do it.
Whose heart broke for him.
You know?
Oh, really?
That's what Matt Lauer said. In that moment, and my heart broke for you, what were you thinking?
Right. And it's like, you know, they teased it as, you know, he finally explains the final play. No, that's all he's done.
Yeah, he's been doing it
after the game.
I will give him credit. As much as I disagreed with what his explanation was, he explained it verbatim
right
after the game.
Sure.
Twice. He did it.
I think he believes he was right.
He did it on the field or wherever he did that sideline report with the sideline reporter, I should say. And then he did it at the podium. And right. He went through it. And let me tell you something. He had to do it 5, 6, 7 times because you know how those podiums get. There's a million people there. You're hitting and running, and people are constantly coming up to you and saying, Pete, I apologize. I know you probably already went through this, but can you just take
me
through? What
the hell were you thinking?
Can you just take me through the last play and what you were thinking? And he explained the whole thing again. I'm telling you, he is adamant that what they did was right, and he is primed to do that again to try to prove a point, and it'll probably work. It still won't be right. It still won't be right. Not when you have that team.
Well, you don't have the right to criticize him.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm not qualified.
Look,
I get that.
Obviously, if they had caught the ball, people wouldn't be criticizing him that
I
much.
Would.
But
well, I
you
would.
Know, when you think back, when you look at it, there's this thing called Occam's Razor, and basically, you know, the solution to any problem is usually the easiest, you know, answer. It's like the straight line is the shortest distance between two points, and. So when you go back and you have Marshawn Lynch and you're on the 1 yard line and the clock was where it was, the right answer was running Lynch. I mean it's hard to debate that, you know?
It's about the team, about the personnel and about the game.
I understand
what I said. If you run it there as the Patriots,
I wouldn't
totally
have run the
thing.
Ball there.
Right.
Right.
The Patriots like to throw the ball from inside the 5 yard line.
And the Patriots have Rob Gronkowski, not Riddell Lockett. Whatever the hell his name is.
Ricardo.
You know, but you have to know your audience, you have to know your team.
Right.
You know, so
what was that thing you just said?
Occam's Razor. Look it up.
Eric, you familiar with that?
I've not heard of that. No.
OCCAMS.
And what's it from? I mean, is it a...
It's just like Occam was like this old philosopher or something like that.
He was a sharp guy.
Look it up.
Razor.
He's edgy, though.
But I still say I've heard Bill's supposed defense of Carroll like 4 times. And his defense of him is they're a good team and he's a good coach. You're not defending the actual decision and the play and the time.
Yeah.
He's just defending the overall air of Pete Carroll and the Seahawks.
He's defending coachdom.
I get that.
Oh, I agree. It was coach dumb.
Oh, that's nice. That was well done.
Well, yeah. It was.
But I do
we
understand.
We all make mistakes. We all reach it. You know, you do things that you regret. You
but
like
I appreciate
to
the fact that Bill can't say that.
No, I know that.
I appreciate that
but don't
he's
take
trying.
A shot at me.
That's what I didn't like.
I'm doing my job. You tell me all the time, do your job. I'm doing my job to analyze the game, and that was a bad call.
And listen, we all understand that none of us will know anything close to what coaches know about X's and O's in a football
right.
game. That does not eliminate anybody else's opinion as to what they should have, shouldn't have done in the last play of the game. So for him to take that shot about people who are nowhere near qualified,
right.
I thought that was ridiculous. Now, him defending Pete Carroll, I think, was classy. I think he had an opportunity to, you know, maybe kick dirt
on
a man's grave, and he didn't.
Well, we learn this week they genuinely like each other?
See, it certainly seemed that way. Sometimes you can't tell with
but
it certainly seemed that way, Andy. I agree.
Sometimes it seems that way, but I don't feel that way. This time it felt legit. It felt real and honest, and I think they do like each other.
Steve from Rancho Cucamonga writes in, just want to tell you guys to keep up the great work. First time emailing in. I truly enjoy the show as it makes my commute to and from work more tolerable. I can never listen live, but always look forward to the podcast. Andy used to get on my nerves, my last nerves, but has won me over as he is now my favorite. Can't see Katy Perry without thinking of him. Thanks for that.
That doesn't sound right.
I cannot get the thrill of victory out of my head, and this one means so much more than the others. I have a brother-in-law who has been a lifelong Seahawks fan, so bragging rights belong to me. You know how in-laws can get. Watch the Inside the NFL mic'd up version, and 3 things came to my head. 1, Malcolm Butler just took over the best play by an undrafted defensive back. Sorry, Sterling Moore. 2, Russell Wilson asking Pete Carroll what happened on the interception. Seemed like he did not read the play correctly and just threw it based on play call. That was kind of weird. P- Pete was just kind of staring at him, and he walks off, and he looks at Pete, and he goes, "What happened to Pete?" And you would think Pete would be the one saying it to him. Right. You tell me what
no,
happened.
No, I think he was more saying, like, where did Butler come from?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
As opposed to
maybe
he didn't read the cover.
Maybe.
I said this from the start. I don't think Russell Wilson has gotten enough criticism for throwing the pick. I don't think it was well thrown, and I think it was late.
Three, did you guys hear Zolak on the play call? Initially, he said pass was good. Then once Sosie said intercepted, Zolak responds with intercepted?
No.
I thought that was funny.
That's not what he said.
No.
He said it's a pass. It's pass.
Something
along those lines. And then Sosie yells it's intercepted. Mm. And Zoe, I don't think, ever thought the ball was completed.
I don't think so.
I will say one thing. Sosie immediately knew it was intercepted. He was very quick on that.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't immediately evident what happened in the split second, but he got it right away.
I mean, it was immediately evident to us, but we had a pretty good angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in our end zone, so we were able to see it.
It was immediately evident that the only thing you might not have known was that when there's a big pile there, did he maybe bobble it on the way to the ground?
Especially
and I think that's why they checked it.
And especially when Patrick Chung runs out with the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was
He clearly intercepted the ball. It was whether or not did he lose it in the way down or something.
Maybe Wilson was actually talking about like the play call. What happened? Did you lose your freaking mind?
Oh,
Why did you throw it?
Who knows?
All right. Well, that's going to be it for today's edition. But stay tuned because John Rook is here with the Patriots playbook and this is his first chance to talk to everyone about the game and the aftermath and what
How's
it
Nitpick
meant to him,
Tuesday?
What it meant to you.
What happened?
Yeah,
what did
know.
I miss?
Yeah,
were you at the shoot around?
Yeah, pretty much.
Just a little football game.
I'm never going to not say that when you come in with a sweatsuit.
Come in with the sweatsuit. Yeah, I know.
So, John, there's just an absolute ton of emails that we didn't get to. So
we'll try to work out as many as we possibly can, Fred.
Yeah,
many as we can.
So, how do you feel today?
As opposed to yesterday, as opposed to a week ago, I almost kind of feel like, we've been there, done that, but it never, ever gets old winning a Super Bowl. It never gets old following a team, being a fan of a team, being a part of the media, being a part of an organization like this when you win and you get out on top. And I kind of look at, I've tried to take a little bit of a step back almost because of a lot of the media uproar, if you will, over everything that's gone over off the field as well as on the field. And I'm reading today where Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee Charles Haley is calling Tom Brady a cheater. And I'm just Charles Haley of all people. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Here's a guy that was a bad guy in San Francisco. He's a bad guy in Dallas. And now he has the guts to, step up and call Tom Brady a cheater and that his four rings are tainted. Only because Tom Brady has a chance to actually match him potentially for Super Bowl rings if, Tom can go another
one. Or maybe because he had a heavy bet on this game. Who knows?
By the way, is it true that who is the Floyd Mayweather had a $12 million bet against the Patriots?
Really?
Did you hear that?
Who
what?
Did?
Usually
Floyd
he only
Mayweather
publicizes
bet.
Them when he wins.
Wow. Really?
Who took that bet, though, is what I want to know.
Apparently there was a casino in Vegas that took that bet.
Wow.
And I just happened to catch that sort of out of the corner of my eye looking at a Twitter feed. And I'm like, $12 million against the Patriots? I mean, that ought to galvanize the entire country behind New England, if nothing else does.
Yeah. I would kill Pete Carroll if I were Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's hunting him down.
Million. Although they're about to do that fight, right? So he knows he'll get that back.
Allegedly.
And some.
Yeah, yeah, with him and Manny Pacquiao. Yeah, allegedly that will happen. So, I'm happy for Patriots fans and for the organization, the people who work hard here, not only the players on the field, but the people who support the team here within the organization. And it's a really cool thing to watch from afar. There's no question. That part never gets old, and I try to appreciate it each and every time that it's been. And maybe we appreciate this one a little bit more because it's been 10 years since it happened.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I'm coming from here. And I'm also gained a greater appreciation for guys like Brady and Wilfork, have gone as long as they have between titles and can come back and win it again like that. That's a pretty amazing feat, and I don't think should be undersold at all.
Nope.
Now it's the drive for five.
Thumbs up.
Yep.
All right.
One for the thumb.
All right, let's say goodbye today. We'll be back
goodbye
Tuesday.
Today.
We're back to our off-season schedule next week, Tuesday and Thursday. Stay tuned for Patriots Playbook.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.